Okay, but he's got to meet up there, mute up there now. Okay, welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, April 20th, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our caller number is 605-562-3140. Our participant code is 385-698. You can get this information on our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on the weekly call, top left side, and you'll get all the information in detail on how to get into our call if you want to ask a question. All radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have a question or a comment. If anyone would like to email a question, send it to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners of which proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance. You'll find their icons on the right side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, let's start off. We'll first take a moment to look into the mind of God. Tonight's scripture is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, A Father's Wisdom. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. That was Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Okay, we do have some questions we're going to get into after we focus in on tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is really pretty much an essay. It's a few pages, 4 or 5 pages. It's called Requisite to Justice. You can find a copy of this up on nationallibertyalliance.org, and if you click on media, on the blue bar, just click on media, come down, it's where we keep all the documents that we give copies of for our Monday night programs. Down on the bottom you'll see legal documents, and we have it both in Word and PDF. So people can download it and read along with us as we go through this. This weekend, particularly, I caught my attention a couple of conversations online on our website, and I looked at one and started to answer one of the questions or concerns, and then a second one had come in from another place, and they were both of the same subject, and I was trying to answer both of them, and I started to realize that I was getting quite long-winded on it. And I realized that maybe this is a subject we should, it's time to really focus in on. It's a subject that some people might be uncomfortable with, but we have to get rid of our uncomfortability, especially with this subject. So we're going to take it on. And so I worked on this over the weekend and put this paper together, and it really has everything to do with what we here at National Liberty Alliance is doing. So I'll start it. A Requisite to Justice, an essay. Law must come from a source, and there are only two possible sources, man or God. If it comes from man, then man, as king, or a group of men, as legislators, will write the law, claiming they know what's best for all, therein eventually tyrants. No matter how good intentioned, a man or a group of men might claim or start out, history recalls they will always be taken over by tyrants, because that is the nature of man, to subdue and to control. After all, God told us, the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. God also told us Satan is prince and power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Spiritually speaking, the word air is an allegory for the place of conversation, which means it is Satan that ultimately controls the conversations of the world. All conversations in the courts concerning law in the United States are controlled by the bar. And the purpose of the bar, in case one hasn't noticed, is to replace common law, that is to say God's law, with statutes, that is to say man's law, through lies and deception, in order to subdue and control the nation and build their new world order, a modern-day Babel. Ungodly men by nature are driven by power and self-indulgence. The prince of the air will say, religion has no part with politics, which controls the destiny of the whole world, because only evil will come about of it. And that deceiver will point to history as witness as he hides the fact that he has his finger stuck in all of it. Every government office in the United States have legal advisors. Everything our servants do is approved and directed by lawyers. God warned us concerning lawyers, saying, they reject the counsel of God, Luke 7. They weigh down men with burdens grievous to be swallowed, and they get themselves a pass, Luke 11. They have removed God from the law, Luke 11:52. And in conclusion, God said, they will not themselves escape the penalty of the law. And as for the builders of the New World Order, also known as the Bar, he said, they will not rise up, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities, for the king himself will rise up against them and slaughter them. Isaiah 14:21-24. When men rejected God as king, he warned us in 1 Samuel 8, saying, this will be the manner of a king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyard and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. On the other hand, this brings us concerning a few who have come to the knowledge and truth, and by the mercy of God are motivated by honor and mercy, and the desire to ordain in this world justice as king. Such was the driving force of our founding fathers, and the father of justice is God. Now, if it be God that wills that nations will be brought under justice in time, of which Isaiah 14:26, chapter 28, and Daniel 7 strongly suggests, then nations will be brought to justice. The history and formula of rule by justice is found in the first seven books of the Bible, and thereby is the foundation upon which our founding fathers built the United States of America. And any who deny this fact simply are ignorant to American history and the structure of our government and courts. And the decline and judgment for abandoning rule by justice is found in the six books of Samuel 1 and 2, Kings 1 and 2, and Chronicles 1 and 2. This brings us to the real question. Can the spiritually tattered people of today bear the truth? The very meaning of the word justice is synonymous with virtue. According to both Blacks and Bouveriers, therefore, truth is, you cannot find just law without first finding a just God. A nation cannot be founded upon just law without first being founded upon a rock of that law. If a nation is to do justice and judgment, humility and truth is a requisite, and the following knowledge must first prevail in the halls of such justice. All the earth is mine, Exodus 19:5. All that is born is mine, Exodus 34:19. All that is under the heaven is mine, Job 41:11. All souls are mine that are born is mine, Exodus 34:19. All that is under the heaven is mine. Oh, I think I read that. All souls are mine, Ezekiel 18:4. All silver and gold is mine, Haggai 2, verse 8. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, Romans 12:19. Which brings us to the promise of God, whereas he said, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And only then will justice prevail, while which no tyrant can overthrow in the courts of America. This was understood by our founding fathers. Benjamin Franklin said, Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. And in 1798, John Adams reiterated that when he said, Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Thereby, once we humble ourselves and realize that we own no property, not even our bodies and souls, and that God has entrusted us, not government, to be the stewards of his property, namely, our bodies and souls. Therein is found unalienable rights. A nation founded under that promise, a premise, can never falter or succumb to tyrants, so long as they continue to rest upon that rock. A court whose bench belongs to that king will prevail. And as the walls of Jericho fell at the sounding of the trumpet, being the voice of God, so shall the walls of injustice fall by the sounding of common law, that is truth, in the king's court. If God can speak into being all things, surely his words of justice will silence his opponents, the opponents of justice. And silence, when there is a duty to speak, is acquiesce and evidence of fraud. The original source of authority. The United States of America was sanctioned by God and founded upon common law, which are self-evident truths, in that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, government derived their just powers from the consent of the governed. No man is greater than another, whereas we read. And this is the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impels them to that separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying on its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them that shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that government, long established, should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evil are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty, to overthrow or to throw off such government, and to provide new gods for their future security. Such has been the patience, sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object of establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts submitted to a candid world. In conclusion, all government powers must be ordained by the people, and whose purpose is to secure the unalienable rights of the people. But when a government stewards abuse and usurp their powers, reducing the people under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty of the people to throw off such tyrants and provide new God for their future security. No man or group of men can create laws without his consent. As we read, every man is independent of all laws except those prescribed by nature. He is not bound by any institution formed by his fellow men without his consent. Truden versus Neal. Simply put, if you cannot trace the legislation back to an authority, to the Constitution, they don't have it. See Quo Vadis, Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, November 10, 2014. The only established law. We the people established and ordained the only written law for the United States of America in a constitution, and made it clear the limitations of legislative law in Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 18, which says, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for the carrying into execution the foregoing 17 powers, and all other powers vested in this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. Therefore, Congress does not have authority to legislate any law outside the following 17 powers of Section 8. 1. Tax. 2. Borrow money. 3. Regulate commerce. 4. Uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws of bankruptcies. 5. Coin money and fixed standards of weights and measures. 6. Provide for punishment, counterfeiting. 7. Establish post office and post roads. 8. Promote science, arts, and inventors. 9. Constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. 10. Punish piracies and felonies on the high seas. 11. Declare war, grant letters of marque, reprisals, and make rules for captures on land and water. 12. Raise the support and support armies. 13. Provide and maintain a navy. 14. Make rules for governments and regulations of the land and naval forces. 15. Provide for calling forth of the militia, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. 16. Provide organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia. 17. Exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over the federal city and the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and any other needful buildings. Nowhere in the above legislative powers did the people give Congress any powers to give additional powers to the judiciary to regulate our rights or control our behavior. As we read above, every man is independent of laws except those prescribed by nature. And to make this clear, we gave Congress a bill of prohibitions, making clear concerning our rights, Congress shall make no laws concerning First Amendment, religion, speech, and the press, and right to assemble, petition the government for redress. 2. Militia, keep and bear arms. 4. To be secure in persons, houses, papers, effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, and no warrants shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by an oath. 5. No person shall be held to answer for a crime without a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury, nor double jeopardy, nor any criminal case be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without that due process of law. 6. Right to a speedy and public trial. by an impartial jury and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witness in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel. 7. Right to trial by jury, courts to proceed under the rules of common law. 8. Excessive bail nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. 9. The enumerated of certain rights shall not be construed to deny other rights retained by the people. 10. The United States Congress has no other powers to make and other laws whatsoever. To make any other laws whatsoever. The purpose of government. As an undoubtedly ordained by the preamble of the Constitution, in that the purpose of any just government is to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty, and no more. The original source of law. For since only God can make law, and we the people, in order to not violate other people's unalienable rights, could only give power via the Constitution to legislators to make laws to control the behavior of bureaucrats, elected servants, appointed servants, and necessary laws for the operations of government, as defined in Article 1, Section 8. Therefore, even we the people are limited in lawmaking. So where do these elected servants claim to have the authority to operate courts of fiction under equity courts in our halls of justice that fleece the people, kidnap our children, kidnap our parents, imprison the people for exercising rights, extorts a fee to exercise unalienable rights, enforces slave taxes such as income tax and property taxes, refuses common law in our courts, screens juries, refuses jury nullifications, nullification, arrests and convicts people without an indictment, operates criminal courts not of record, deprives us of due process of law, deprives us of life, deprives us of liberty, deprives us of property, sends SWAT teams out in the middle of the night, breaking down our doors, terrorizing our families, and sometimes killing them for unlawful code violations or intimidate for the collection of slave taxes, prevent dying people from knowing known cures, regulate the poisoning of our food, water, and air, telling us that we do not have, do not hire, telling us that we can do what we can do and not do, and hire code extortion officers to enforce all of the above. In 1228, Henry III was smarting, means pained, or licking his wounds, was smarting from the barons forming of a great council to elect Henry's ministers and to collect and allot his revenues, the power of the purse. In an attempt to assert power against the barons, Henry fell prey to an attraction of civil law doctrines. "Servants do not judge their masters," he said. "Vassals," and vassals are one who owes an allegiance, "vassals do not judge their prince or bind him by their conditions. They should put themselves at his disposal and be submissive to his will." Henry III is the perfect example where a plan by men to rule themselves without common law went wrong. Tyrants will always be available to step up to serve themselves. Henry had forgotten his purpose, which was to champion the common law, and therefore the people, by ensuring within the realm tranquility, justice, the defense, and the secure of common law, which proves the point, man is not God. Today we have come full circle, as Henry III distorted through the statutes of men, declaring servants do not judge their masters. So do our tyrannical judiciary today. This saying is true, but they have turned the world upside down, whereas we are the masters and they are the servants. So we the people declare, in an upright world that has already been ordained, servants do not judge their masters. Purpose of America. America was born when the nation discovered that rights came from nature's God, and decided it was time for men to rise up to secure these rights at any cost, because it was the right thing to do. And that requisite the governor of the universe to rule the American courts. Thus begun a radical shift in political thought. Individuals are not given rights by a government or king. The power of that government or king must be justly derived from the consent of the governed. Rights would no longer be given to the people by the government. The government would be given limited rights from the people. America would be a land of freedom and opportunity, with minimum government intrusion, a limited central government that would simply protect the people and maintain a safe environment for them to pursue happiness in any way they saw fit. And so purposed, so the purpose of America was to free the people from tyranny in the 13 and now 50 United States, and through that accomplishment, free the people of the world. And by the mercy of God, this could still be possible if we acknowledge the King and ask. Matthew 7:7. And he will answer, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. James 1:25 and Psalms 50:15. Okay, requisite of justice to justice. You can get a copy of that up on nationallibertyalliance.org under the media page down under documents. Okay, I've got some questions that came in through the mail, quite a few of them, maybe four or five of them. But before we do that, Gerard, Gary, do you have anything to add or would like to say before we go forward?
I'm good. I'm good for now, John.
All right.
I'm good.
Okay. And I guess Gary's muted. I know he's here, but okay, let's move on. Okay, let me go through these questions, and then we'll move on to an open mic. Question comes from Carol from South Carolina and asks, I'm in the process of fulfilling the requirements to become a jury administrator in my county. I just did the math, and if NLA pays everyone just for the lowest salary advertised, $45,000 a year, that will be $585 million a year just to pay these administrators. Where's all the money going to come from to pay these salaries? I ask this because it will take many hours of preparation to even apply for one of these jobs, so I have an invested interest in knowing this information. And we have spoken about this in the past, but maybe Carol is new, or maybe she missed it. The money doesn't come from NLA. We're not hiring anyone to do anything. Everything we're doing is voluntary. But right now, the court system pays groups of people in the court and groups of people in the prosecutor's office. And these people in certain groups of people in both of these offices do nothing but focus in on juries. They collect juries, they call the juries, they do orientation for the juries. The courts, at least in New York, the courts handle the trial juries, and the prosecutor handles the grand juries. As a matter of fact, in New York, the chief justices here are trying to move total control to the justices and take it away from the prosecutors. I think because they're fearing that they may not protect them when the pressure of we the people come upon them and they see it coming up. But in any event, that's how the process goes. And they pay these people tremendous amounts of money, and a lot of it is wasted. And all this money is paid in order for them to corrupt the juries. As a matter of fact, we're writing a paper right now, and we got a hold of a federal jury questionnaire. And I was totally blown away by all of the questions that they were asking. And I just want to read a paragraph out of the paper that we're putting together. And this is just a paragraph concerning the questionnaire. From a 17-page federal jury questionnaire with 58 categories, taken 80 multiple-choice questions and 28 questions requiring detailed answers in a sentence or a small paragraph. Whereas the introduction to the questionnaire stated, the purpose of these questions is not to ask unnecessarily about the personal about personal matters. It is simply to determine whether a prospective jury can decide the case fairly and impartially. They don't have that authority. Right there, what they just said, first of all, disqualifies them from pulling juries because they are pulling together impartial juries, biased juries. Not shall I say impartial? Biased juries. And these questions, 58 categories, 80 multiple choice questions, and 28 questions requiring detailed answers in sentences and small paragraphs, you put that all together, that's a psychological review of the individual. They have people spending money on people studying these things. Okay, so they're studying each individual coming in onto the jury and the case and deciding who's going to be permitted through or not. Then, of course, they give it the next shot to the lawyers of both sides to ask questions and to accept or deny. All of this is illegal. There should be a series of questions, very, very few questions, to make sure that the people aren't biased. Do you know these people? Have you heard about this story? Do you have any thoughts about it? You know, those kind of things. Are you prejudiced? Do you not like white people? Do you not like black people? You know, a few questions of that nature. I could think of maybe a dozen, which would probably be appropriate and would disqualify the people should they answer in the wrong way. It's that simple. Other than that, we don't belong digging into the things of men. And they asked quite a few questions that kind of focused in around guns. Do you carry a gun? Do you own a gun? Do you know anybody who owns a gun? Anybody in your house have a gun? What do you use the gun for? Why do you keep it? What do you use it for? Why do you want it? I mean, questions that are really none of their business. Do you watch TV? Do you watch cop shows? What kind of shows do you watch? What kind of magazines do you read? Are you Republican or are you a Democrat? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So anyway, they spend a tremendous amount of money. Us coming in with the plan of a salary, which is a professional salary, of between $45,000 and $130,000 is appropriate, and it is what a professional, highly skilled professional would get. $45,000 on the low end, of course, with some training, which is we're providing that training now, $130,000 on the high level. And I would suspect a lot of people are not going to reach that high level because that's going to require a lot of things. And we wrote a paper on what that's going to require. We just haven't released it yet. It's just too premature. We also, there's what's called the MEAN system out there, which looks at the cost of living and the different trades, professional trades or even the working trades, you know, carpenters, masons, and things of that nature. And what they've done is they've taken statistics around the country and recorded the in all trades, including professional areas. And we've looked into the professional side of things. And the range of salaries is right in that ballpark, about 45 to 130,000. But how do you determine the value or the experience? Well, first of all, there is a process that is called the MEAN system that sets up what it does is it creates ratios concerning the cost of living in a particular area versus the normal salaries in that area also. It's a combination of the two. And so, for an instance, if New York, you go down to New York City to get a one small bedroom, one bedroom apartment in New York City, $4,000 or $5,000 at least, okay? You go up into the Catskills and you might get a small one bedroom apartment, $400 or $500 or $600 a week, a month. So the cost of living, obviously, is hugely different. So there would be ratios on those salaries. And with 45, well, let's say the ratio would be, let's say New York City's ratio would be 1.3. And let's say the ratio up in the Catskill might be 0.79. So 0.79 times $130,000 at the max would give you the salary, which, I don't know, $110,000, $105,000, whatever that works out to be, Whereas in New York City, it would be the different way, going 1.3, which would be a higher salary. But I think the cap, the way we calculated and put it together and studied the professional salaries, I think the cap was $130,000. I don't remember exactly, but something like that. So what does that require? You have to have a lot of experience in order to get that kind of a salary. And we set it up. I went through the different experiences and laid that out. And again, we have not released this information yet. We don't plan on releasing it until we actually get into the courts, and then we can lay that whole O out and look at that. Right now we have other things to focus in on. But the bottom line is I've got a lot of experience in a lot of the fields, but even I don't have all of the experience necessary to be paid that high salary of $130,000. I doubt there'd be very few people, if any, taken on this job that would get into that range, at least not off the beginning. Over time, working through and doing your job, becoming a very valuable individual, you have to become, to get a salary like that, you have to become a valuable enough individual that you also become to some point, really someone who would become also an advisor. Maybe three counties away or someplace else in the state, they need to know something and they don't have the answer, and you'd be the guy because they'd look for the most experienced individuals within their system to give the answer and the solution and the conclusion on how to go forward on a certain situation. So these aren't haphazard salaries that we just threw together trying to make $1 zillion, a big salary or anything of that nature. This is not a situation where already right now they're spending more than $585 million, whatever that number came up to be, much more than that to run the jury system here in just in New York State alone, far, far more than that. So you see, the money is there. It's already being paid out. We'll do it for less than we'll get real justice. The court systems will be less used to begin with because we wouldn't have all these phony cases going on. In the beginning, it would be very busy. But we wouldn't have all these phony cases of putting people in jail for nothing and making money off them. And a lot of things, there'd be a lot of savings. There'd be a lot of conclusions that will be able to be worked out by either the investigators or the grand jury themselves and say, hey, look, we're going to indict. But you know what? If you're willing to accept a plea and agree that you're guilty, we talked with the injured party, and they're willing to accept this. And if you're willing to accept this, we don't need a court. You know, we don't need to go through a court case. We'll just work it out at this point. Create a contract. You're guilty. That's it. And go forward. Pay your dues back to society by restoring the individual you injured. If jail time is necessary, then that'll be necessary. But a lot of times, I don't think it is. Violence, of course, it is maybe. But so a lot of money is going to be saved through this process. Obviously, we cannot leave it to the government to run the juries. One of the other things in the questions, in the questionnaire, the federal questionnaire, is are you willing to accept the explanation and interpretation of the law by the judge and not question it? Are you able to do that? That right there is jury tampering. That's a felony. That denies the essence of the jury, which is the power of jury nullification, to say, no way, this is not right. We're not going to permit it. That takes away the power and the authority of the people. Who are these people that think that they are to judge over their masters? So anyway, that's where the money is coming from. I know I answered quite a bit there on a lot of different things, but there is a process of applying, the experience of an individual to make the proper adjustments and so on and so forth. But for those who haven't heard and they haven't been paying attention, it's time to pay attention, because when the time comes for these jobs, I will fight tooth and nail to prevent anyone from taking any of these positions if they are not trained. We have the training course going on now. There are a lot of people that are in there. Well, we've got quite a few hundreds of people in that training course that have checked the box to become administrators, and they have not yet responded. And they better start responding, because you're not going to get those positions. It would be a wrongdoing for myself and others who know the truth about this situation to allow people that are not qualified to come in and take these jobs. Now, anybody can become qualified to this job. Anybody. Don't undersell yourself. We have the program and the education set up. We're also working, we got two other programs, or shall I call them courses. which is going to piggyback right on top of the course that we have up there right now. There's two other courses coming up. We're working on them. It's going to take a little while to get it together. We're getting it up there. Once we adjust the courses and put it in, you'll be notified by email that your 100% completion will drop down to whatever percentage it will drop down to, 75 or whatever it is. You'll need to get back in there and finish off the other two sections of the course. One of them will be, you know, the nuts and bolts of being the administrator for the grand jury and the process and procedures of writing the papers and the process and procedures of how law works and how things work. And also the idea and information concerning investigating on behalf of the grand jury, okay? Another one is going to be a really hardcore focus of point-by-point, word-by-word of the Constitution for the United States of America. So those are the two courses that are going to be added on. We're probably going to do the Constitution first and get that in there, and then the final part will be the for the purpose of the introduction to the grand jury as far as the process and how to operate, how to orientate a jury, whether it be a grand jury or a trial jury, the orientation would still be the same. Being very careful and laying out that we got to be very, very careful. We don't taint the jury. We don't want to guide the thinking of the people other than the fact to guide them towards a sense of honor, justice, and mercy, that they must decide all things under those three terms and correct each other when they find someone not doing so, and dismiss someone amongst them who they believe and vote upon to decide that they're prejudiced or they're a problem and they need to leave this jury, get out of here. These are the things we need to teach the jury, their power, their authority, and by what authority they come in. They have to come into the authority of the name of the king, so they have to come in with the principles that the king has set forth, honor, justice, and mercy. Okay, another question. Bobby asks, while I would love to take up such a position, I sincerely doubt I have the time to do so. I work 50 to 60 hours a week at my regular job. That being said, I never thought that there would be a paid position available in the movement either. If you could send me more details on what exactly the job or county administrator would entail, I would be happy to see if I possess the skills to best accommodate that position and consider leaving my job to dive into this one. I think this movement is critical to the reclaiming of our constitutional republic and the actual rule of law for all men, for all. I don't see anything else in the works that can have the kind of impact this can. Okay, there's very few people out there, I'm sure, that are qualified to take on this job at this moment. But anybody who goes through the course that we're putting together is qualified. They'll start off on the low end, and of course, you know, the consideration of certain experiences that you have will be taken into consideration for a salary adjustment. There's a lot of things we need to put together on this. You know, there'd be a probation period. Everyone would start at the lowest rate, and they'd go to, they would stay at that low rate if they were in the course. They would stay at that low. They'd probably be even at a lower rate if they're still in the course. Okay. Once they complete that course, they get to that one low rate. Then there would be either a 90-day or 180-day probation period, which then your salary would then be adjusted according to certain criterias of your experience, and then life would go on, and people, of course, can shoot for the moon and get the necessary qualifications to take the higher, to get into the higher level. But at that point, you would be at a person, to get on that high level, you'd then be an advisor within the state, while still working on your own jury, but certain difficult situations coming up, they'd be seeking advice from that individual. And if you can't give the answers to that advice, obviously you're not qualified. So people need to be very careful, and we need to police each other to make sure that nobody over-exaggerates their experience in order to get a higher salary, because that's a wrongdoing, and right from the start, we'd be cursed for what we're doing. Okay, third question three. I got two more. These two are short. Patrick from California asks, could you tell me concisely how do you plan to win the hearts and minds of law enforcement officers to obey the edicts of the fourth government? Well, first of all, we're not the fourth government. We are the kings. We're the people. And actually, we're not really even the kings. We are the king's bench. We're the representative of the kings. Ultimately, to the government, we are the king. But we are the king of kings. I mean, God is the king of us kings. He is the king of kings. But nevertheless, the only way we're going to get the law enforcement officers to obey is to teach them. And therein is the purpose of our paperwork. We're ready to go and file papers. We just have a few technical problems we're trying to work out. Once those technical problems are worked out, which hopefully could be days or a week, but I thought by now it would be done. But, you know, again, the timing is not in my hands anyway. It's in God's hand ultimately. So we're on time. We may not think so, but we are on time. But once we start filing these papers and we start reading them, you're going to see the power and the authority. You're going to see these people are going to have to read the papers. After all, we're copying 30 to 40,000 oath takers across America. So we'll get into more of those details once we start filing. And once we start reading the papers and discussing that, you're going to see we're here to teach and to train. And so every sheriff and every marshal will get a copy of everything we do. They'll get an invitation to come in and ask us questions. You know, look at, don't come in on a on an investigation that you have no right or authority to do, because judges fear their jobs because they're guilty of crimes and they want to get rid of us, and they send you out on fishing trips to try to find us and get us in jail for stupid things like they've done to a couple of our people already, and we are dealing with that. But so nobody be foolish to do stupid things. Don't argue with a cop if you're stopped in the streets. Argue in the courts if you want, but don't argue in the street with a cop. Don't give them a hard time. Don't do anything that's going to set yourself up, and they're gonna crucify you. Just don't do it, okay? And then you'll be okay. But anyway, getting back to ultimately the question, we intend on filing all these papers with all of these law enforcement agents, the real ones, the sheriffs and the marshals, and educating them. Even if only 10% of them get it, that's all we need. That's all we need is 10% of them to get it, because they will lead the others, and they will turn the others, and they'll understand the need to turn the others. And there's a lot of different programs we're working on. We got different committees if people aren't aware of. They should be aware by now. We've got a lot of committees going on. Get involved with the committee. See what's really happening. We got some really powerful things going on behind the scenes, and you can come to them. We have a board meeting every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everybody is invited to come to sit in on the board meeting. The only ones that can talk are the directors of the groups and of the committees. And it's they're there to answer where they're at, what they're doing, and maybe cross information between the committees. The left hand needs to know what the right hand's doing, so to speak, and also giving a report so we all know where we're at, and maybe start feeding. Well, you got to do this, that, and the other thing. Also, giving more work to the necessary committees. We have to train them. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be, Thomas Jefferson. So we have to train these people, and we have a 4 to 6 week plan to do so. Once we get moving and get past this technical problem we have. Last question. Christine from Massachusetts asks, would you clarify to us whether or not the administrative position will be paid in Federal Reserve notes? I have been getting quite a few inquiries about that. Well, that's an interesting question, because we have to solve that problem, and I don't know that we want to get too much into it, but the problem has already been solved in the Constitution, where you know, nothing in any state will be accepted as an exchange of money except coins of gold and silver. That's it. So once we apply the law and that changes through the nation, that'll happen. Whatever monetary system is going on at the time will be what's happening, and of course, as we press the our servants, to obey the law and start to fix things, it'll eventually get back to what it should be, what the Constitution says it should be. So that's the best answer I can give. I can tell you that any court case that I write, I require payment in silver, silver coins. That's the requirement. I forget the ratios, but if you're looking for $1 million, It's so many thousands of dollars, and it's not that high a thousand in silver, which is equivalent to the million. Just to give an example, let's say 500,000. Okay. Let's say 500,000. Let's see, divided by I don't know what the price of silver is right now. We'll say 17 for the heck of it, an ounce. So $29,000, roughly speaking, is equivalent to $500,000. But in court cases, I know I write now, the requirement of anything I'm suing for is going to be in paid in silver. I don't want the debt notes. But anyway, that's where we'll be with that until things change. Okay, that brings us to the last question we have. And again, if anybody else has any questions, they can send them to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll answer those questions in our next Monday night program. Or, of course, you come here and you get into the queue and you ask the question yourself live. And of course, all these programs are recorded, so you can catch up on these programs, nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on the Monday or the weekly meeting. How do we word that? A weekly call, and all of the audios are on that page. Okay, I guess we'll open up the queue to questions and answers, or comments, shall I say? Nobody else, Gerard, and nobody, you don't have anything. We'll go forward with the queue, I guess, right? Let me open up the queue.
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay. Before anybody gets into the queue, let's wait 3 to 5 minutes before certain groups of people get in first. Anybody who's new to our program, and you will have a question or a comment, hit star 6 once we open up the Q&A. So let's everybody wait for the new people to jump in there first. Anybody who has been trying to ask questions and haven't been able to get into the queue over the past weeks or so, hit star 6. So those are the two groups of people we want to hear from first. People who are new and people who have been trying to get into the queue for weeks and haven't been able to, those people get in first. Everyone else that have been getting into the queue over the past weeks, wait 2 or 3 minutes and then hit your star 6. So here we go into Q&A. Star 6 to get into the queue. Okay, we have Michael from California. Go ahead, Michael from California.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
Hello, Gerard.
How you
Hey,
doing?
I was wondering, the NLA when first got started was exclusively dealing with common law grand juries. Got to get them constituted. Need to get our foot in the door and all this. And ever since the mandamuses and quo warranto went out, it seems like the whole primary purpose got hijacked by the good intentions of the CPS, which is a good thing, but sometimes good is not what's best for what your purpose was. So I'm trying to figure out with the Jade Helm thing coming up, why is the Jade Helm thing not taking precedence over something like CPS when we're trying to get our foot in the door? And how can we address that through a
Okay, well,
common law?
let me respond, and
I don't hear anybody talking about that, and we're talking that's what hit the Southwest. I
Right.
mean, you knew it
Well,
before.
before you can talk about those things, you have to know what you're talking about. And believe me, we're looking at things. We've got connections, inside information coming into us. We've got details. We got a lot of stuff. And we got a lot of research we're compiling on the Jade Helm. We've got lots of theories and ideas on how to write the papers and the necessary things. And, to file a paper concerning the Jade Helm thing, we couldn't, even if it was done today, we couldn't file it tomorrow. The oath takers are not ready or prepared for it yet. So In probably 4 weeks or so, we would be ready to be able to file that paper, which would give great impact. Impact that, you know, when you see it, you're going to say, whoa, this, we are working to try to stop this, and I think we can. So when it happens, it'll happen. We can't get into too much more detail because it's not wise to speak about certain things until we do it. So we are very much aware of Jade Helm, and we're working diligently on it, collecting all kinds of information, talking to all kinds of people. People who are in the know, the real know. So that being said, that's that one issue. CPS has been a problem in my mind since we started, from the standpoint of being something that has really ripped at my heart. I have tried to help people over the past couple of years. We've been doing what we're doing. I get calls from around the country, and I've tried to help certain people. I can only help so much. I'm not where they're at. I can't go to court for them. And most of these people are just totally incapable of going into a court and helping themselves. And the lawyers just play into the whole system, and they end up losing their children no matter what they do. And I have felt as helpless as they have and pained about it as they have. Now, I had no intentions of getting involved in this kind of a thing, but family court is in my scopes. It always has been in my scopes since the beginning. And I know we have to deal with this once we get into power. I have a lot of thoughts and ideas on how we can deal with that. But obviously we can't deal with it until we get into power. But with the way things have gone, nothing that we're doing, we have eight papers written and ready to go. So the writing is done. We have all of the necessary information to send this stuff out, done. We have just a technical problem that we're waiting on to complete itself. And once that's done, these things are going to pump out every 4 days or so. I don't know. But it's going to take a course of time to get eight papers out. We have about four or five other papers we're actually writing at the same time right now to add on to this, Jade Helm being one of them. And we have at least three or four, maybe six or eight more issues planned that's going to go right behind this. So we have a lot of things. And we're way ahead of the game in the paperwork, way, way ahead. We spend huge amounts of time of our day really working on paperwork more than anything else, writing and preparing and laying the stuff out and doing what has to be done. But two things have surfaced. And the reason I got into the CPS problem was from a radio program that I was on. And that was, we had people on there with that problem talking about it. And as I was talking to them, it dawned on me numerous things. I saw, you know how you kind of get a vision because, you know, you work on things and you spend a lot of time thinking on things and strategizing, and then you change your strategy a little because you get a little more knowledge over here and how things work over there and so on and so forth. And we've been working a lot of things. And all of a sudden, when I was on that program, my heart was tugging on me because I really wanted to help the people. But on the other end, I was just trying to give them advice and thoughts on what to do. But I felt helpless. But right in the middle of that conversation, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I saw the opportunity of leverage to get into the courts through this process at the same time to help these people in a very powerful way. Now, the court case might seem complex to people, might seem that it's taken a lot of time. We're getting a lot of new membership from this process. So we're building membership. They're learning about us. They're supporting us. They're loving us. Plus, they're dealing with their problem. And so we have a lot of people coming in because of the CPS movement on one hand. On the other hand, we're doing what is probably the most righteous thing that needs to be done, is that is to protect our children. It also turns out that it's a great leverage for the courts. It's a battle that they don't want to fight and they cannot fight. It's a battle that is absolutely already won. It's a no-brainer. Even though each person has their own story and their own problems and their own situation, we're going to go in there with a very simple focus. And ultimately, it's due process. Slam dunk, game over. And because they have no due process, they can't battle this. This will put pressure on them, and at the same time, we're going to come into the courts in a way that they never thought about it. And again, I don't want to get into any more detail about that, but let me tell you, it's a powerful program that's going to leverage National Liberty Alliance and help our National Liberty Alliance as much as it's going to help the people and the children. And my decision to do this, of course, you know, I always look out to get National Liberty Alliance's, you know, up and going in any way I can, because this solution is everyone's solution. It's their solution. But I was really motivated by the heart. But I saw that how, wow, this can play so well. We wrote some papers that are so powerful. We've already started writing the papers for the CPS situation, by the way. And when you start to see some of the language and positions and points in that paper, you're going to, and how we're handling it, you're going to say, whoa. The other thing is we've got three members of National Liberty Alliance that are in jail. Matter of fact, there may be four or five when we go back for other issues, but we got a new committee open, and is the research and response team, and we got some really good people, some people with law enforcement background in that group, people with good management skills, and we've had really, and the group is only a few days old, and already it's probably positioned themselves more solid than any of the groups that we have so far. And have placed themselves poised for a position to really go forward. And we're working on, I think, three, maybe four, habeas corpuses. Now, we've done a habeas corpus before. It is the most powerful paper that you can put in. And there's nothing they can do about it. A habeas corpus, once, if it's done right and done in the proper way, in the right jurisdiction, and especially coming from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, from that perspective, and again, I've done this already using my own name in order to write the paper on behalf of someone else, but not from the perspective of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And that person was released from jail before at the last day count, they were out, because they knew they couldn't do nothing. They couldn't respond, number one. And there's the process of law requires these. That's a crime. If a judge denies the process of law, which how the and there is a process in law through the position. It's a show cause. Ultimately, is what a habeas corpus is: produce the body, show cause, and release it, or show cause why you're going to keep it. And if they don't obey it, that's a crime. That's a felony. I don't know what the term sentence would be, but it could be 20 years. I just don't know if there's anything written out there. But I could see 20 years easily being applied to that, because if a judge even removes paper from a judicial process or commands someone to remove paper from a judicial process, that's 20 years in jail. How much more refusing the process of letting a man out of jail that's being held without due process? And in every case, it's always due process. It's a slam dunk thing. The thing is, it's going to give us a power and authority in the courts once we start filing those papers too. So I'm sure we'll have other people that will end up in jail, and we'll have to get them out. Now, I want to say this. Nobody in National Liberty Alliance has ever been arrested or even threatened directly of being arrested for doing what we are doing. We have done everything right to the letter of the law. We've laid it out from day one. We're common law. We're not statutory. We've separated ourselves. They've accepted that separation. They've engaged us under the realization of that separation. It's too late for them to change that positioning. And so they can't come out and say we're making believe we're something that we're not, or something of that nature.
Simulating.
So nothing assimilating, right. So nothing we're doing is going to get us in jail. But what's going to get us in jail is doing something stupid, okay? Look at what happened with one guy, Steve, down there. He was just set up. But the whole part of the thing is, you know, they were looking at him. Why? Because some judge sent the FBI out there because he had filed some papers, and, they weren't happy with it. So they went on a fishing trip. Well, that's illegal. As a matter of fact, we're going to do a paper on that to alert the FBI and the marshals concerning that kind of a scheme by criminals in the court system. such as judges. But we're also going to welcome them to any questions or thoughts they have to come take a look at the website. And if you think there's any questions you need to ask us about that, we're open to it. 24/7, we'll answer any questions they have. Once they start looking at a site and see who we are and what we're doing, they'll know we're not who they claim or they're thinking they're looking for. We're the people. And we all also are organized across the entire nation and every state, so that'll become evident to them too. We're very active, a lot of activity going on. We need more activity, but a lot of activity going on. A lot of committees happening, a lot of work being done. We've got name recognition going on. We are known in the federal courts. We are very well known in the New York courts. And there's no doubt by their reaction to us that they're nervous of us. And they should be, because we, the people, we're the boss. We're coming in, and, it's over. Fun and games for them is over. We're going to shut them down. And only the people can do that. So, anyway, CPS is not something that's going to hold us back. As a matter of fact, it's going to slingshot us, and it's not taking any time out of what we're doing. We're way ahead of the game on that part. It's just a technical thing that hopefully we're going to get dealt with soon. Gerard, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think people don't always understand what our position is and our strategies are, because maybe they're not paying attention close enough to what we're saying. But, you know, it's not about petitioning the government. I mean, I know we talked about a million signatures because we want to show them that there's a solidarity among the people. But when we send them paperwork, we're not petitioning them. We're not asking them anything. We're coming from something that they have to answer under due process. That's a big, big difference. And being that it's coming from the common law grand jury, the unified common law grand jury, which has mailboxes in every single state, they've never seen this before. Don't ever forget, they've never seen this before, and they've said so themselves. That one officer made a Freudian slip there when they were interviewing him on that Fox 50 program. He said, "We've seen this before, just not." And then offhand, he said, "Just never this big." Well, there you go. He let the cat out of the bag, didn't he? So they are worried about us, and we have to toe kind of a straight line, and we can't have everybody running off in different directions, second guessing what we're doing and starting new things, and say, "Well, we need to go here. We need to do this. We need to gather that." We've mulled this over and have talked with the different committees and vetted different people to get to where we're going. And look, you have to trust the process that we're doing. And it's not just, it's not just John sitting up at a desk somewhere coming up with this stuff. My phone and his phone, and we never stop all day. And I have a full-time job. I'm raising children. I'm trying to keep my head above the water, and we're vetting and talking to people all day long. Now, I don't get it. Some phone calls I don't get, I can't answer. But this whole process is what's really brought this thing to where we are. It hasn't. It's not just a willy-nilly shoot from the hip type thing, And we always try to and we always pray on it, and we always try to do the honorable thing, and I think it's going to show, and I think the results are going to prove that. So I'm going to go ahead and yield, John. We've got a couple of people in there, but maybe we can address that even further with some of the questions you'll see.
John and Gerard, do you guys, either of you know what Jade Helm stands for?
Well, I know Helm has to do, of course, like the helm of the ship, the direction, and I did look up Jade, but I forgot what it means.
Jade Helm is an acronym. It's basically something that's been identified in public papers that have been put out by SOCOM. They're the Special Ops Command. That's our joint military special ops. That includes Navy SEALs and stuff. So they call this thing the Joint Assistant. This Jade part is an app. You can put an app on your phone. This app was created by someone with the intelligence. It's called the Joint Assistant for Deployment and Execution. So in other words, they wanted to get this rolled out right away. It has to be actually interfaced through the electronic world, the digital world, so of course it's an app. So you got all your military special forces using this app. So what are they going after? Well, the Helm part is what they're going after. Homeland, this is where DHS gets involved, Homeland Eradication. Eradication means removal of local militants. Well, who would these local militants be? So with basically following and connecting the dots from what's been going on for the last 20 years, not just under Obama, but certainly been upped under his ante and his watch, they first came in with infiltrating the local militias and trying to find out what's assess the risk, who's involved in these militias. And then they started to do all the stuff about, okay, let's go from there, and we'll go from there, and now we're going to go ahead and try to get some other things going to see if we can, find out, what kind of, armaments we have. So let's go ahead and get a registry gun. So all the gun control efforts, let's get a registry gun. Registration leads to confiscation. This is all about disarming people door to door, and they got to do
background?
This. Because, so my point is,
what's
if
your
Jade
background?
Helm... If Jade Helm is just what they're saying it is, just a military exercise, I've had some other people in the background in the military tell me over and over and over, I'm military, I've been in 30 years military, I'm even best friends with John Durash, and he threw his name out. So I said, oh, that's interesting, he's from New Yorkers too. And so I talked for 2 hours with just trying to get the word out about seeing what the people would say on this call that I was on, much like yours. And I threw out the information about it, and they were just kind of saying, well, just step back and, just remember this is just National Guard. There'll be like 1,200 National Guard
spread
right.
We agree with you. This is more than this. This is
okay,
the move.
So,
this is the takeover. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty damn sure this is it. It's going to turn into the real thing. They just need that ability to make their first move, and people are going to be confused and not realize and understand until it's too late. So I understand what you're saying. And a lot of people understand and are concerned about this. And kind of a background do you have? You seem to have a lot of knowledge of this. What's your background?
What do you mean?
Are you just someone that's just looking and studying this, or do you have a military background or something?
I'm just a person who had a dad that fought in World War II, who's basically looking for oath keepers to show up where they're supposed to, and every time we look for one, we get an oath breaker. Now, my point of bringing that up wasn't to grill you guys, but was to bring up the fact that I got a great document from someone whose name I won't mention, who's been so worn out doing things to help National Liberty Alliance, and then so inundated by all the stuff that took over with the CPS thing, that they've...
Right, well, they shouldn't... They
let me know... Well, they let me know that they decided to no longer be a member, an organizer, or even a coordinator.
Okay, well,
thought,
we're sorry
well, I
if they
I can
feel
patch that
way.
Up, but...
Hold on a second,
point,
Michael.
The point I brought
hold
that up
Hold on a second.
Was,
oh, I'm going to let you more time. Hold on a second, because I want to address some things before I forget. We're sorry they feel that way. They should be putting their time where they think it's most important, and I can tell you, I can assure you, and I don't BS anyone. I'm right up to where it is. I am what I am, and I say what I believe is true. Nothing we are doing with that is affecting with our main focus. Everything we do, if it doesn't play in and work towards the main focus of getting control of the nation, where the people are in control of the nation on the grassroots level, through their counties, in the courts, right up into the federal level, that is what we're here for. We're also here to stop some serious business, and we have some really serious papers already written. We have people working together, advisors and stuff. And what I would like to say, because you seem to have knowledge of this stuff, I'd like to have more conversation with you, maybe if you've done some research, see some of this stuff, and if we feel comfortable with it, we'd invite you into the group to discuss, particularly the Jade Helm thing, because we're going to be having a meeting with a very high-leveled, influential individual concerning this situation, and we would take you into that conversation with the group of people that are going to be in this conversation if you really have the ability and the knowledge of what's going on. It sounded like you understand a little better than I do, that's for sure. I'm doing my homework to catch up on it because I don't know the specifics, but I do see what's really going on. The moment I heard about it, I understood what's going on. I know what's going on. This is not a drill. They're saying pretend. It's not going to be pretend. This is it. Now, if all their ducks are not lined up in a row, they may not pull the trigger yet, and they may take a pass on it. We need to prevent them from even doing anything to begin with. And there are things that could be done.
Well, that was my
anyway,
point.
if you want to get involved, give me a call tomorrow and let's talk a little bit.
The most powerful thing is shining the light on it. You'll see how they run so if you get the word out so that the average guy suspects that something's smelling in Denmark, that's enough to stymie them right there. So don't underestimate that. However, that being said, like you said, we need certain oath takers to step up to the plate. We need more sheriffs. We need more of these people that are willing to stand behind
their oath. Campaign. Right there is a campaign we're starting to put together as a campaign for sheriffs, and we're starting to visit the oath takers meetings. We're going to tell other people, look at in your area, go to your takers meetings and ask them, look at you guys got the military and the police enforcement background. Why ain't you guys running for sheriff? Let's get running for sheriff. Who wants to run for sheriff? You see, we need to get the oath takers, the oath keepers, into running for sheriffs, and we will educate him at National Liberty Alliance. We got in our course are numerous constitutional courses, okay, and we're putting the third one in there. Which is going to be the most in-depth one, point by point, line by line, so people understand the meaning of words. You know, someone was reading, I think it was Article 4, Section, Paragraph 4, I think that was it, I don't remember exactly, but it had to be concerned with religion or something, and they just totally misunderstood the meaning of the words and what was actually being said. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was the... Yeah, it wasn't the Bill of Rights. But in any event, you know, we need to look at the Constitution, being able to read it and be versed in it to the point that you have your little booklet and you're in the court and all of a sudden the judge decides to clear the court. Well, you need to be able to jump up to the place where it says, you know, in the Bill of Rights, an open trial, an open public trial. Excuse me, Your Honor, why are you taking everybody out? This is a public trial. I've seen the courts cleared many times. Well, not many times, but a couple of times. And I hear the courts cleared a lot of times. You know, one of us come in there, they clear the courts. They don't want to hear what we're doing. Excuse me, it's a public trial, public thing. We want people here. You see, people need to be able to actually use the words in this Constitution and be able to get around it. And so we're going to do a course to teach people how to get around this small little booklet. It's not a lot of stuff, really. But anyway...
Well, that was the reason I brought
you
this up.
You want to give me a call and you want to discuss becoming involved in working with us?
Yeah, just two final points. Yeah, I want to do that. The part of it was that we had brought up the sheriffs before, and the person that was one of the people, key people that was helping put out all of the paperwork for the mandamuses and the court warrants and the sheriff notices, they were helping not just our state, but all the states. And so by being overwhelmed with all the CPS stuff, they felt like that... By pretty much working alone, too, as I found out, they didn't have anybody helping them. That, you know, that seems overworked and underappreciated. And so I'm just trying to
again,
try to patch that up.
Well, again, you know, we're trying to teach people that they have to build up their own rankings. They got to build their own committees. We have to spur off other committees. So we actually have a committee that we just started concerning sheriffs. And it's not just... You know, supporting people that want to run for sheriffs. It's going to be proactive to go out to get the oath keepers to run for sheriff. We're going to hit real hard on this, and we're going to try to get the sheriffs that are out there to come in and become part of what we're doing here to get other sheriffs to work together and also to take the course. You know, I listened to a interview with Sheriff Mack recently. I'm trying to think who it was that interviewed him. Oh, it was, what's his name? Goodness, he's with us right here with the National Liberty Alliance. How come I can't think of his name, Gerard? Pete Santelli, okay?
Pete Santelli just interviewed. I know about Pete, yeah.
Okay, well,
Pete my
Santelli,
point for bringing it up
let
was...
me, hold on. Let me finish this. This is an important point. Pete Santelli just interviewed Sheriff Mack.
Sheriff Mack,
and,
I watched the deal, yeah.
Okay, well, the thing is he came up with certain points, and they were great points.
Yeah,
I don't remember. I think it was Arizona that he was talking about. I don't remember which state it was.
That's because Sheriff Mack was the sheriff in Arizona before.
Okay. Well, there was, I think, nine counties, so nine sheriffs. They came together to deal with a problem with an FBI agent and how the power and the authority of them coming together in the entire state to kick ass on the federal government, which cowered down and realized, whoa, you know, because we're going to put your rear end in jail, federal agent or not. You come into this county and break the law. You see, that's the attitude that these sheriffs have to have. And once they have that attitude, we also have to train the FBI to realize they're being duped. They're being used, too. So we have our job before us. But look, this is not a one focus project that is just very simple, and all we're doing is A and that's it. This requires to be very complex, to grow out into different ways, to get different groups involved with us. We want the sheriffs in with us. We want the oath keepers in with us. We want to get an investigative committee for the purpose of helping people. Then they run into some kind of problems like jail. We have the court watchers group. We want to get out into the media. We got the media group. We have a welcoming committee to try to activate people and welcome them as they come into the group now. You know, it takes time to organize that and get it all together. And if people, you know, give up and they miss the boat and they're not paying attention, well, I'm sorry that they did. Hopefully they'll come back and realize that what they need to do is get up on a Monday night program and say, hey, look, you know, here's where I think we're falling deficient. And you know what? If we're falling deficient there, we will recognize and acknowledge it and say, okay, what do you think we could do to fix it? I'm saying to you right now that you sound like you have certain knowledge about this Jade Helm thing more than the common person, and if you give me a call tomorrow, we get some discussions, I might pull you into the group if you're interested to work on the Jade Helm thing. But the Jade Helm thing is just one.
I appreciate the offer. I may take you up on that. The other 2 points I wanted to make, if I may, was that I called every sheriff. You guys keep talking about the sheriffs. We did try contacting all the sheriffs, and a lot of the people, including the person I mentioned, did do that through letters. So we're trying to figure out, okay, there's a section, someone sent me the Constitution for California that was 1879, the oldest version that they could find, and that was of the one that was the second one, not the original, but the one that was replaced the original. And in Section 12 of Article 1, the Declaration of Rights, it clearly states in the first sentence that the military, which they want to use, including this paramilitary like DHS and FEMA forces, the military shall be subordinate to the civil power. Translation, they got to get permission of the oath taker, the duly elected law enforcement officer, the sheriff, before they can start traipsing around in your own city streets. Well, I called every sheriff, believe it or not, every single one, over 50. I only didn't get to about 8 of them, their sheriff departments, that is. And none of those sheriff departments in California had ever heard of Jade Helm. They all denied it to a T, all of them. Well, so they went around the sheriff, they went to the commissioners and the city officials, the elected bureaucrats, the appointed assholes. They went to those people who have been taking money on the side, the LAPD, the police departments that have been getting the federal money. Everything they've been doing to federalize our local law enforcement is part of the trap. So when they get the DHS, there are billions of bullets, people on your street, and then they're already there, it's too late. This is supposed to be rolled out in July. So
we
don't have
the
time to be dinking around with all these other things.
Michael, we're all on the same page here.
So my point
was, we are doing something.
My point was, Colorado got out of it. Colorado supposedly got out of this. They were one of the original states earmarked for this. They supposedly got out of this from the sources that I've talked to. We need to find out how they did. They took a stand, and now they've got a stand where they're not going to allow the feds in. They're not going
to.
Well,
every local
community has that option, but they don't necessarily understand. Look, if you go to a little local community and you offer them $150,000, that's very tempting for them in their budget.
Exactly.
And the part that I want to get out before you guys go off on wild blue yonder here is, even Sheriff Mack has weaknesses, and one of the weaknesses with that whole sheriff's group is they talk about getting rid of the federal people and all that stuff, but what they don't do is they don't protect their counties from the local county people that are pushing this stuff. They're afraid of the local politicians, and the reason they're afraid of the local politicians is because they don't have enough people like the common law grand jury that will have their backs if they turn around and they try to get rid of a county guy, they try to get rid of a prosecutor or some other law enforcement or government official, that sheriff is hanging out to dry at the county level. Everybody understands the federal level. The sheriffs all get together and support each other on the federal level. But let me tell you something. If you don't lock your counties down and you don't have control of your counties, they will walk this out. They will have bullets. And the only ones that can fix that is we, the people, with our sheriffs. And that's an important point. I don't think there's enough local focus here that the sheriff's got to understand that they even have to stand up for those local guys, like the county commissioners that are pulling their purse strings and forcing them to go in and get federal loans, which then make them sign off their authority. And look, I was on a town board. They made me take that stupid NIMS training, the disaster training, and that's all that's about. is handing off your authority as the thing escalates. It's all bullcrap, and the sheriff shouldn't do it. And I went and told my sheriff, I said, don't be taking any of that stuff, because they're going to come in and be, by virtue of you taking it. He said, well, look, they're not funding me. He said, they know that there's these federal grants available, so what the county commissioners do, or whoever's running the particular county, they start short, and the sheriff figuring that he can go to the federal and get it. Every county, every town, they should get together and make a resolution that that their counties, because they get sales tax, they get a bunch of other revenue, should fund the sheriff first from the tax revenue, no federal grants. Yeah. That's all bullcrap, because exactly. That's what that's designed to do. And I'm proud to say that my sheriff took nothing, zero. When I went in and looked up Homeland Security of all the 50 states who took money,
it's all a bribe. Yeah.
That's right. It's just a bribe, and it's designed to gain control. Now,
right.
We're aware of this, but the average person has to be aware of this. And
once you're
understand.
On the government,
well,
once you're on the government
payroll,
you've been bought
off. Let me bring in a point here before we go any further.
Right.
Hold on a second, Michael.
Right.
Let me bring in a point here, because this is a situation we've been talking about today. As a matter of fact, we've had a couple of conversations, today in different calls. And we have some people who are people involved with us to a good degree. But they're complaining about this. They're complaining about that. Oh, the CPS, because what you brought up is being voiced from other people and people who are heavily involved with us, doing some big stuff with us, and they're thinking we're being brought off course because we're going into the CPS. We have another person who thinks we should be going this way. And what they're doing is they're shooting themselves, or they're shooting NLA, us being ourselves collectively, in the foot, okay, bringing negative things. The problem is they're not paying attention. Look it. There's no organization.
No, excuse me. Let me stop
hold
you right
on,
there.
Hold on. Hold
let me
on.
Stop you.
Hold, no, I'm going to mute you because I want to get this point off so I don't lose it, because this is an extremely important point, and we have created something to try to prevent this from happening in the future. And I'm going to unmute you as I'm talking, but just wait till I finish, and then you can have the floor. Now, people are not on the same page, and that's partly our fault in a sense. We're trying to organize so everybody is on the same page. They need to understand what we're doing. Very few organizations, if any, I don't know of any. If you know of any, you let me know, where we an organization out doing a serious work like we're doing and is available once a week for 3 hours a day on the phone. You got the founders on the phone talking and answering questions and concerns. We have changed directions from people who have come on to the Monday night call and said, well, what about this or that? And we said, whoa, okay. We try to bring in the people that have the good solutions, that seem to understand what they're talking about. That's why we offered you. You seem to understand what you're talking about. I need more articulation between you and me to feel more comfortable about that before I would bring you into the team. But we have a team of people. We want to be working on the Helm thing. We want to get serious on it. But look it. We put together, and this is something new, we've only had two meetings. I was ill for the last one, so I wasn't at it, but we're going to have one this week, tomorrow, which is a board meeting. And the reason why we're having a board meeting, which the only speakers at that meeting are going to be the directors of the different groups, the leaders that are involved throughout the nation, which includes our district coordinators, which we have 13 of them. And those are the only people that are going to be allowed on the mic. It's going to be strictly business, point by point, only the facts, and move on. Where you at, what you're doing, what's old business, what has been completed, what hasn't been completed, what program you're working on, what case you're working on. And the reason for this, we want to do it, and we invite it's an open board meeting where all members could come. So everybody can be on the same page, that the right hand knows what the left hand's doing. You see what the CPS group is doing. We have about 50 or 60 people already volunteered, most of them new people that have come in to volunteer to take control of the CPS thing. We're not taking up the resources of people that are already working on programs to do things. We're looking for serious state coordinators. A lot of state coordinators have fallen asleep, and we're going to try to give them a little boot to get them going again or replace them. But we haven't taken away from any of that, nor taken away from any of the work or the writings of any of the things we're doing in order to do with the CPS or anything else. We also are teaching a group on how to write habeas corpuses. We've already shared the paperwork on the breakdown. It's a five-part process, roughly speaking, and they have to know and understand the five-part process and how it works. we're going to write on the upper level, we're going to write the first couple and then give it to them so that they see, and then we'll let them write the ones from that point forward, and we have to put the final stamp on it, so to speak, so if there's any errors or corrections that need to be done, we'll fix that and then send it out. That will take weight away from us on the upper tier that is writing the more important papers, okay? So nothing is being set aside or damaged or hurt or retarded in any way by taking on new programs. And what we're doing is we're getting more volunteers, more activity. We're also requiring that we have hundreds of people running for the administrative process, and part of their education, part of their course is to be involved now. Anybody out there that's signed up for the administrator to be administrator and is sitting on their hindquarters and not putting any time into working with us, they have to get into some committee. They can choose any committee they want. They got to get into some committee and give a little bit of time every week. And it could be only a couple hours. That's fine, a couple hours a week. But they got to do that. And if they're not willing to do that, then I think other people should be putting ahead of them to take those positions, because this is part of learning to do what we're doing, because we're going to be learning a specialty in whatever committee you're getting into. You're going to become more involved, and obviously they should be coming to the Monday night meetings. They should be, if they don't take the course, forget about it. Don't even think about taking an administrative position. It's not going to happen. So the right hand needs to know what the left hand's doing. We are doing everything we can to make that happen, but it's up to the people to actually get up. You have no idea the emails that I get, and people actually think that I'm going to answer them. I haven't got time to answer them, sometimes long-winded, and they ask questions that we talk about on Monday night programs, okay? They ask questions. They don't know, where do I find this? And it's right there. They're just not paying attention. They have to get connected. They have to get on the same page, and they have to spend some time. But then they'll criticize, and yet they haven't participated. So that's why we got the board meeting coming up, and on that meeting, everybody's going to see all the activities going on, what's going on, how it's going on, who's running what, who's doing what, and hopefully get more excitement, hopefully get more involvement, and hopefully get this job done. Because if the people don't get involved, we're not going to save America. We have to have involvement. We are a proactive group. And I am so sad that the people that there are a couple of people who have left. I heard of other people, but they're just not paying attention. If they would come to a Monday night meeting and bring it up, we'd give them the answers to what we're actually doing. So anyway,
and make no mistake about it, that Corawanta, habeas corpus. The habeas corpus is as powerful as the Corawanta when it comes to shutting them down. It puts them in a horned dilemma that they can't answer, that really does shut them down and finishes the subject then and there forever. You don't need to go to court. It's done. If they don't answer that Corawanta, they can't answer that Corawanta, and they have to let you go. That particular issue is to bed. They can't even bring it back up again. So it's very powerful. Now, to think about those habeas corpus going across the country through CPS, hitting these courts at the same time that we're doing the Corawantos and the mandamuses. Look at these guys are going to be overwhelmed. I mean, a lot of people don't even understand the full power of the Corawanto, but believe you me, the people up on top understand this and they're worried. And we need to keep the pressure on. We need to operate as a well-oiled machine, kind of like a military operation here, where each platoon has a job to do. And we need the platoon leader. We need this chain of command. And look, we asked people early on with this Jade Helm thing. We want the names of the counties and the states, and because we understood that they're getting local permission to come in. And we were going to cite those people, and we were going to send them paperwork that would make it very uncomfortable and let them realize that they're committing treason by doing this. We're going to name each one of them. Well, guess what? That information was out there, and I found somebody else sent another email, and it was mixed in with some other stuff, but I shouldn't have had to go looking for that. Somebody should have brought it to us. You know what I mean? I can't be all over the place. You know, I spend so many hours a day on this computer, even in between my working hours. My work suffers because of it, because there's so much information that needs to be gotten. We need to come together and divide up the responsibilities and give each person a piece, and then based on that, we will be a spear point. I'm going to shut up now and let you talk. I know John shut you up, and now I jumped in. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, the points you made are well taken. My follow-up to that would be, real quick, before I make my final 3 points, would be that, if I may, is that it's urgent versus important in terms of prioritizing an educator, professional educator by profession, and I teach on things like time management. So one of the things people that are successful do that other people don't, that try to be successful in terms of managing their time, is they keep a to-do list and they have it prioritized: must do, should do, and hope to do, or want to do. Well, that's what I suggest. That
you don't think that we do. We don't think that we're doing
that.
What
I'm saying is
no. A lot of people
aren't,
though, John.
I'm just asking for some time. Thanks, guys. I'm just saying that along those lines, if Jade Helm is looked at as urgent and CPS is looked at as important, you know, then we're looking at a timeline that shows that in July, Jade Helm will be here. CPS, that problem, unless we can get some infiltration immediately into that system, that's going to be there for a long time. So, yes, the
We are extremely – look,
I didn't interrupt,
but
please.
But you're suggesting that we're not doing that.
John,
on top of Jade Helm.
Don't take it personally. I'm not saying that. I'm not attacking your guys and how you are and aren't doing things. I'm throwing out that if you are already identifying Jade Helm as an urgent timeline event – versus the CPS, which is very important for a long time. It has been. Don't tell me. I know about the senator and her husband that were made to look like they were about ready to break the CPS stuff wide open in Georgia, and they may look like a dual suicide. I know about that lady. Okay, I know about CPS. I had my own problems with that before. But my point is, the urgent matter is we have people, the Department of Homeland insiders have said, is this basically what they said? They said this Jade Helm thing is basically going to be, the purpose is to reduce and control events and populations engaged in unconventional warfare and to test the relationship between armed forces and law enforcement. They want to see how much of their bribing and paying off and sending of the little toys like the MRAPs and the billions of bullets, how much of that has been effectively taken over, given control or the locus of control to the military. And again, if the Constitution states clearly, like ours does, that the military is subordinate to the civil authority or power, which is your sheriff, they still would have to get permission from someone who has not been bought off. That's the litmus test for me that I'm going to go test when I call these sheriffs back. So back to my final 2 points. Colorado, again, supposedly got out of it. I'm going to find out how they did. I will call you back and find out how you want to see if you want to squeeze me in on your committee. And the final point is that isn't that just something we're trying to do through the constitutions and through the the physical realm? On a spiritual note, you claim to be a Christian. I don't know if Skip really knows you or not. If I say the name Skip, can you give me a final name, a cognomen, a last name from someone that's a best buddy of yours in New York?
Skip from upstate New York. I'm trying to get his last name.
Stronaham,
yeah, something like that. I know.
Ends
I know
with an
Skip,
F.
Yeah.
Skip.
Yes.
Stronaham. I don't know.
Stranahan.
Yeah.
So Skip Stranahan is a friend of yours. Well, he was the guy
I know Skip. Yes.
He was the military guy on the call with me. That was on for 2 hours hosting the call, Patriot Mission Hotline, and the lady that sent boots to the ground. This is the other part that we've never been able to connect the dots with your agency. You guys are good with the paperwork. This person, not him, but someone that he's been working with on a regular on their call. She's been sending boots to the ground to militias when the invasion started way back when Obama was bringing in supposedly unaccompanied children only. And then La Raza shipped them all over the country, including to our state. And her own son is a military at Fort Hueneme. He actually confirmed that they had 5,000 of them waiting there at the base, the military base, to be shipped all over California. So since I live in a sanctuary state that's pretty much already been thrown to the wolves for La Reconquistas like Gutierrez and all these other guys that sent to La Raza to get them all over, the illegal shipped all over, and maybe ISIS camping on a border, you know, a couple miles south of El Paso, Texas, sending more problems up north, we're living in a state of urgency of how we want to address this, and I'm going straight to the source of the Constitution that says, hey, Oath Keeper, are you going to defend us? Are you going to protect us? Or have you been bought off? I want an answer, and I'll do affidavits, whatever I got to do to get that. So my point is, I've invested time as when I first started as a member. Then I went to an organizer, a county organizer. Then I said, okay, I can do more. They asked for more. They asked for more. I said, okay, I'll step up. I'm one of the state coordinators. So I've been very involved. One of the other people I mentioned has been very involved. And I don't really care if people appreciate what I'm doing or not. I'm just one of those people who remembers my dad served. He faithfully served. According to Skip, he faithfully served. And yet their mindset's totally different. I never served. I've never been in the military, but my brother did. So my point is I approach things from, like, more or less you do. Like, what's the law state, and how can we go about it that way? But these people putting their boots on the ground, we need those guys with a gun and a badge now to be there for us in my town, so I can get everyone in my town or my county and other counties in California to know that they can do what Colorado did before the scenario hits the fan.
Well,
Pico Rivera was one of the Walmart shut down recently, and they've got it all walled off. You can't see into it. One lady went in. They only have a place where
right.
you get your
well,
prescription.
Look it. We've given
that's
you
another
a lot of
issue
time.
That's going
we've
down.
We've given you a lot of time, and we got to move
thanks
on.
Thanks for listening.
But if you want to talk, you know, more, you can give
I'll
me a call.
I'll call you,
John. But I want to go back. I want to go back, and you know, I'm going to put final word in here because, you know, if you're talking about the Colorado group, there's about, I don't know, 8 or 10 people that left us, and we
really?
Said c'est la vie because there was a debacle.
There
was a Colorado debacle. We have the recordings.
Colorado got out of the Jade Helm thing, John. That's what he's talking about, Colorado.
The what?
They're out of Jade Helm. They
yeah,
opted
Colorado
out of Jade
got
Helm.
Out of Jade Helm. I don't know what group or who did it.
Oh, okay,
but the
yeah,
got
because
together.
We had problems in Colorado with a group of people.
Yeah, that's a
and
whole
they were
different
going
story,
talking
though.
To the sheriffs, and they started threatening the sheriffs, and they started doing bills of exchanges. It caused us to write a paper.
No,
and I thought
to do
that
with
was
that.
Part of
this
it.
This was just
okay,
getting
right.
out to them. Who's the district
but you had
coordinator
mentioned
for
earlier
Colorado?
That people had left us, and I thought you had said
no,
they
no,
were
no,
from
no,
Colorado.
No, nothing to do with that. No, totally separate. Rhonda Veith is my district 9 coordinator. Who's the district coordinator for Colorado?
I don't know. I'd have to look on the list.
I'll look it up. Okay, that yeah. would be a person I'd like to talk to first, so they might know, and we
right.
can go from there. But
yeah,
I'll
you can contact
call you back.
Them directly.
But
yeah.
just so everyone else knows, you know, we have put in, I put in two programs, two nights where we talk to the people to start off the to kick off the movement for the CPS thing, and I put in probably a good maybe 12 or 18 hours involved with paper writing and form preparing and discussing with people in order to instruct them. Other than that, we have capable people running this whole thing. A lot of them are new people that have come in. And I get a report, you know, I get a couple of messages, text messages on certain things, a question or a comment. My participating with that movement at this moment is maybe 20 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, if that. Now, I have some papers that I had started writing a little stuff on. We pulled some research stuff, put it together. I had research from the past on this stuff. So we haven't started that paperwork to writing yet. We'll do the Jade Helm paperwork before we do that paperwork. We're not ready for a month to write that paperwork because we have to accumulate all of the applications, put everything together. So we got a lot of work to do on that. We'll be beyond the Jade Helm application of paperwork into the courts before I start and get involved with other people to start writing the paperwork on that. So nothing is taken away from the main process. And Jade Helm is a major point of what we're in here for because this is what we're trying to stop. And that's why we, the people, need to get into the courts. And every action we make, every legal action in the right jurisdiction, in the proper way, and people really do not understand yet how we're doing this, and we're purposely not saying certain things. But believe me, when it unfolds, anybody who's paying attention and really starts reading, they're going to see a lot of thought went into this, and we're going to be putting these people in places they can't respond, and also into places where they know if they don't respond in a proper way as action, they're going to go to jail. And at the same time, the concern that they're going to have is that the other oath takers are being educated, and that should become a concern to them because they're going to see what's going on.
John,
so
the
there's
number
a
I'm
lot
call
going
you,
on here. There's a lot.
Yeah, the number I'm going to call you back at in the emails you've been sending about the notifications for the Monday night calls, or where's the number I'm going to get for you to call you?
845-233.
Is it on the website?
Huh?
Hold on, let me write it down because I don't have the. Go ahead.
845-233-6560.
845-223-6560.
233-6560, yeah.
When I call you back, would you be open to me then bringing up the person's name to see if you could do some damage control to maybe help get them back? Because they were very instrumental.
Sure.
In California.
Look, I'll talk to anyone. And, you know, and anyone can talk to me. I'm open all the time. And, you know, I don't know why anybody would really, if they get to that point where they're so upset that they're going to leave, why don't they just call me? My number's out there all the time. Or Monday nights. Come on to the Monday night call. I don't care what people talk about in public. I'll talk about anything. I don't.
Well, I think this is something to be handled discreetly because of.
Well, yes, personal things are a different story now.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
All right. Thanks, John.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll be on. Thanks.
All right. Okay, Gerard, you want to pick it up from here? Got it, Gerard? Because your mic may be off. I don't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mic was off. I said, T. Stroud, you're unmuted. Go ahead. I hear
you. Thank you, sir, so much. And I really... Can you hear me okay?
You're breaking up. You're way over modulated. I don't know if you got to get away from the mic or turn it down a little bit. You're like...
Okay, how's that?
That's much better.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and I appreciate the time. Okay, I'm calling in regards to the, listening to the call. And I hear the urgency, and the urgency is real. A lot of people are facing, wage theft with their employers, unemployment, working three jobs, 20 hours a week. Families are overwhelmed, paying the high price of gas for as many years as we have now. And, people are weak. People are feeling weak, and that's how they want people, right? I don't really believe that. And then as soon as you fall into a situation where, you have a lapse in your car insurance, your car can get towed. If your car is unregistered because, you're trying to, decide upon food for your table, these are the extreme circumstances a lot of people, your neighbor, could be facing. And even the senior citizens at this time, they might not have a television because, used to be we had free television. A lot of your next-door neighbors, and, we're love thy neighbor, they don't have a voice. A lot of people don't have a voice. So for me, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take this 1,000 signature very seriously. I'd like to go, find out, I want to ask some questions before I do it. If I were to take the
Yeah, we lost that caller.
They
might have lost. It sounded like they were losing a battery. They might have been on a battery phone or a cell phone.
Yeah, and actually, I got completely kicked off.
Yeah, someone keep an eye out to see if they come back into the room.
That was
and they brought up, huh?
That was T. Stroud. Okay.
Right. So I don't know who's here, Gary or. Well, Robert, keep an eye out for T. Stroud coming back in, and we'll just uncheck them in the text area and let them talk. But before we go any further, I want to respond something to the signatures because it's something we're doing new. I didn't want to do it this way, but you know what? I don't think we have a choice. Someone had set up a place where we can have people come in and do signatures electronically. I talked with the person about it. I have to get in to look into the back office, but I also talked to our tech guy here, and we have a plug-in for that. It's not going to cost us anything to turn it on and plug it in and turn it on, and it'll take in the people who want to come in and sign electronically. It'll record their IP address, and they'll also have to give us certain pieces of information, nothing too personal. But, of course, they've got to give us a name and a few things. I forget what we're asking for. But we're going to have a page set up on our website. It was supposed to have been up today. I don't know why it wasn't. I left a message for the tech, and I'll be talking to him in the morning. So hopefully he'll be on tomorrow. So we will be taking electronic signatures, people coming on and check the box and fill in a few pieces of information. And then that'll be recorded, and we'll have a list, of course, we'll be able to print out to prove with IP addresses that they did come in to click for that purpose. In today's, electronics anyway, why not? It's too much of a problem at this point trying to really push forward on the physical print, signatures. But those who have done the signatures on the physical thing, we're going to continue to keep that. We're going to reduce the page that we have from 100 signatures, I think, to 40 or something. I forget what number was comfortable, but we're going to lower it down. And so people will go to an event, they can get the signatures. But we are going to push real hard on the electronic signature. Again, we were resistant to that. I prefer not doing it, but I think we have to. And so we're going to do it. And again, the IP address and the name, when they push that button, is enough to make it individual and undeniable. But we don't care because we're not using it. We don't have to prove anything to these people. But it'll prove they can deny it for a legal reason, but they'll know for the facts that, hey, you know, a million people came up and are concerned. That's big to them. That's going to make them very concerned if we can get a million signatures. So we really have to work on that project, and we are going to go that way. We appreciate the guy that put up a website to start doing that for us, but we really do need to have control of that ourselves. Yeah. We really do need to have the IP numbers and so on. Did Strauss get back in?
You know, I see her in the queue here on the bottom. We could try to except for I can't catch her for some reason.
Yeah, I know. It won't hold down. No, go into the body of the thing and get her
looking
in there.
Yeah, I'm looking for her. I don't really see her. Hang on. Oh, there she is.
You got it?
Yeah, it looks like it. Let me unmute her.
Thank you.
Try that again. There you go. Okay, she's back off. Okay, you were breaking up so bad I was only catching.
Yes, sir, I am back.
Yeah,
go ahead. You can talk now.
Well, I'm concerned, you know, mostly because as a woman, I'm seeing a lot of people getting bullied that they're using to hold people who are accused, and they're medicating these people. You know, I'm a firm believer in the good Lord, and I know that, you know, the Lord works through me. You know, your body is the temple of the Lord, and they're actually, you know, medicating, and the doctors are like, you know, acting as an army against the people. You know, it's big money for these psychiatric drugs they're putting on people. They're putting a young person, let's say they're 18 to 20 years old, a policeman pulls them over, and because, you know, they're trying to say their side of it, they'll say they're interfering with a police officer, put them in jail, and then force them to be medicated. And it's so rampant that, I mean, this is the urgency and the extremeness that our children pulled over at any moment and have something like this happen to them because they want to, you know, let's face it, the jobs aren't out there, so the people are the commodities these days. You know, that's where the money is. The funding is at the top. And out of control. This is not America that I would want. You know, I have to make a stand. I have to do something, and this is a great thing that you're doing. I would like to start with the signatures on a personal level, but if I do, I don't want, you know, someone's, of course, going to start asking questions to me. I want to make sure that, do I need to fill out any paperwork that, you know, like if you're going to have a yard sale, you know, you usually have to fill out a piece of paper with the town hall and say you're going to be doing this. Is there anything I need to do, or I can just do this independently and have people sign? If they choose to sign in front of us, would that be okay? I'd like to do it there because these are the people who are at risk, who have no votes.
Yeah, I'm still
here. You know, who need to get involved. And can you hear me now, sir?
I'm still having trouble here. Listen, you don't need permission.
Are you able to hear me at all?
You're really breaking up bad, you know? I'm getting like every third word. I'm not sure what you're getting signatures for. I didn't get that part. Signatures for what? You know, are you petitioning or what that is? And, you know, listen, the people don't need permission to get to petition or to get signatures. They would never be able to stop you under the First Amendment for that. Doesn't mean they won't try, depending on where you're doing it. But nevertheless, you know, I wouldn't worry about that. But I don't know what you're getting. I didn't hear the part of what the signatures were. I understand it's these people that are at risk. And what thing are you putting out there that they're signing? Yeah, you're losing bandwidth. It's really terrible. You got a really bad connection here. Why don't you try to dial back in and see if you get a better connection? You're not coming in at all. You're just kind of
breaking up. Yeah, it's definitely on her side because I hear everyone else clear.
Yeah. Okay. Try to dial back in because you're really really bad. I'm gonna go ahead and open up Johnny B. He's the next in the queue. And go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, evening, guys. Man, there's so much stuff I could bring into that. One thing when the gentleman was talking about Jade Helm, when they rolled out the private contractors back in the 80s and 90s, they set up groups of people that were robbing banks and causing a lot of trouble with the, what do they call them, credit unions, the community credit unions, which all that is a public opinion influencer to get the people to say, okay, we got to have the law enforcement take care of it. We can't do nothing on our own. What that culminated in, what it actually came down to, was the bombing in Oklahoma City, the destruction at Waco, and then 9/11. So you can trace that down, and don't forget the World Trade Center in 93 or 97. The first time that we tried to bomb that building to the ground.
Right.
So that Jade Helm is a big deal, guys. Really big deal. I'm not near as knowledgeable as he is, but I've got a lot of people that are pretty, they're looking for it to start right there. But anyway, I've come in contact with the community that we market information into the information age. And it's an amazing community with a lot of good information covering 8 different aspects of life, from faith to family to founding fathers, the whole 9 yards, finances. Finances is one of the biggest principles. But there is a gentleman that's speaking on the founding fathers, and he points out straight up that our government was not founded on the Bible, or no, our country was not founded on the Bible. The people in the country already had the moral high ground. They didn't have a religious life. They had an upright life. You can be religiously drunk or a religious child abuser, but what they were morally upright. And the founding fathers, what they did for the government was based strictly from the King James Version of the Bible. That was the best example they could find of government from God down. The rest of it come from studying all of history. So, and that's why I'm getting a lot of people responding here in Kansas on the amount of information that the NLA has. So we need to kind of broaden our focus here, because I lost a lot of people when we went on the religious Christian bent early on. A lot of good, faithful people, they're tired of getting the big Bible brought into every conversation they get into. As far as the training goes, guys, I am struggling to try to get this business off the ground because we're almost flat broke here. And I've got my trial coming up next month. I'm trying to get the paperwork put together on my own, by the way. So as far as going further into the studies to be state coordinator, of course, John, if you remember, when I come into this organization, all I wanted to be was a grand jury member. I was pushed into county organizer and then catapulted up to state coordinator. So, you know, I'm doing my best, but the more I try to get things pulled together, the more it seems like there's people within the NLA taking my support network apart. I'm trying. I don't know if I can get Angela back, but Angela is a major help to me. And Gary Jolly flat run her out of this organization.
There's a lot of stuff going on, and I don't believe you can be religiously drunk, because that's like saying sovereign citizen. You know, there's the law, and then there's the anti-law. You know, it's either you're either with God or you're against God. You can't be in between, and so I don't agree. And if we lost people for that, well, then woe to them, because look at what we're preaching is a fundamental right. I mean, what's wrong with what we're saying here? Our forefathers said this Constitution would only be for a moral people. Where do what's a moral people? You just said the King James Version of the Bible. Oh. Amen. You know, look, it. I don't want to argue religion. That's not what this is for. People that got driven out drove themselves out because they became so intolerable with their own personal beliefs that they couldn't do the beliefs of the group or tolerate each other. There was no reason for anybody to leave over religious grounds. I don't believe that. And if they did, then maybe if they think we're too religious, and maybe there's those other people that left because we're not religious enough, because I get that too. There's other people out there we should be speaking the fire of God, the sword of God out of our mouths, and you guys are going to be punished because you don't say that enough, and then you're over there too much religion. Guess what? I don't care. I don't care because ultimately the people are going to get together and do what they have to do. And we're not going to take – this is not just a little dinghy that we're riding here. This is an aircraft carrier, and we're not going to turn it for every little thing that every little person wants to do. You know, look, we're basing our fundamentals on the fundamentals of our forefathers, which was good enough to start this country, which will also be good enough to take it back. But we have the knowledge of history. We get the lamp to light our feet, just like our forefathers did, is history. So there was a couple things that they didn't get exactly right when they did this nation. They said it was an experiment. So guess what? The experiment, now we know the results. So now we know the proper way, and that's what we're going to institute. They left too many holes for people to come in and do their little works and usurp this thing, and that's our job to close them. And I believe that we will do that as long as we stick together and we tolerate each other and we're moral, you know, honorable people. And that's not too much to ask. And I don't think anybody that's in here, you know, I don't care what their faith is, they could be moral and they could be honorable. Everybody knows you don't sacrifice children and all that other stuff. And basically that's what CPS does. They sacrifice children. They run child pedophile rings, and it goes, and it's not just CPS. It's all those stupid organizations all the way up through teenagers. Everybody's being assaulted. Look at, we are in, look at, this is Armageddon, whether you know it or not. You're in it right now, you know, and people say, oh, well, you know, look at, people are losing their heads in other countries because they will not deny the belief and their God and Jesus Christ. They get their heads cut off for that. So how can you say people are not losing their head over this? You know, not in America, but guess what? In Africa, in Palestine, and all these other places, it's happening, and it's happening now. And look, we might be in a little different dimension, but those dimensions will shift right before your eyes. And before you know it, just like this jade helm, it'll be here. And I don't believe that they have really gauged this thing perfectly. They have a lot of problems. A lot of what they're doing is psyops. First of all, our president and a lot of the people that are running this are communists. They have no idea what it means to be an American. They've seriously underestimated us. Look, they know they're never going to get the guns from us. They've tried, and they can't. They're trying to get the ammo. There's so much crap out there right now. There's so much resources. Look, we have information. We look at stuff will come in from other nations that they pissed off that want to help the Patriots. You have no idea. And what they really want with this jade helm is they want people to shoot because they want an excuse to start firing on us and creating a civil war. You know, they're not going to get a civil war. What they're going to get is a guerrilla warfare. And I don't want that because that's going to last 50 years. That's what's going to happen with that. If a nuclear bomb doesn't come in and bomb the hell out of everybody, look, they are not going to march in this country and take us over without a resistance, one that they don't want, because at that point they all become targets. They'll have to get in their underground spaceships, and they won't be able to come out because some 22 shell will find them. So I just want that said, because there's a lot of baloney that goes on, and what we're not taking into consideration that God is in control here, and he always wins with a inferior force to show the people that, look, we can't do it on our own. We're not capable of governing ourselves without his rules, because we always have envy, jealousy, hate, all those things. Look, a kiss is still a kiss. As time goes by, it never changes. Those things that motivate men and those things that keep us where we're supposed to be and those things that we desire, they haven't changed from the first day that man was born. And don't ever forget that. And don't let these modernist people tell you that we're different now, we're more mature, we're this, we're that. It's the same crap Our forefathers studied it. It hasn't changed. It's never going to change. So look it. Stick to your principles, and you will get through. All right?
They found those principles when they got here. Those principles kept this nation secure.
And that's what we lost.
In the 1400s, the European nations released a bioweapon attack on this nation, and that's the only way we got colonists here en masse. We could have come here freely eventually, but we would have had to have shown an honorable, upright, moral character before we would have been accepted in open arms and in immigration status, undoubtedly. There's one thing that Oliver DeMille did in one of his speeches and part of the information I'm getting, and he made mention that there was a lot of stuff that the Founding Fathers took as common knowledge, so they didn't even see reason to bring it up.
Exactly.
And that's what... use the word communist, it wasn't communist, Gerard, it was Bolsheviks. And the Bolsheviks come to the United States in the 1850s and 1860s, started the Civil War so that they could take Russia. Straight up, that's history.
Well, if you study communism, you should get to Bolshevikism. I didn't say that because the average person doesn't understand that. You're right.
Well, sure. Yeah. You've got to be pretty certain you identify a Bolshevik.
Right.
But we're working it, man. We got a lot of things going on. I need to get a hold of you guys about an initiative that's been brought to my table here at Kansas.
All right. So give us a call.
I don't want to do it on the open call.
No, no. We'll talk about it on a call.
All right, right. Okay. That's about all I have, guys. Thanks for the time.
All right. I'm going to go
on. Network.
Okay. Thank you.
Hold on. How you doing, Gerard? Jason from Jersey here.
Are you there? I hit next question. He didn't come up.
Yes, I'm here. How you doing? Hello?
Good. Are you there? Hello? Jason?
Yeah, go ahead, Jason. You got the mic.
Well, that was one button, guys.
I think you opened up my mic, and I'm not Jason.
Oh, I don't know. Who it says Jersey Jason. Johnny B. has a check that he's muted. I don't understand what's going on here.
Yeah, he just fell out of the box. You have 503 on.
All right, so this is Sherry from Oregon.
Okay.
Hi, so I'm new to the group. I did listen in last week, and I talked with Sheila and Gina, and I'm one of the new people that came on with the CPS, case that you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And I just, as I'm listening to people, I just want to say I am so grateful that you guys pulled this in, because I've been doing a lot of research on it, and as I did my research, everything else kind of that you guys are also dealing with, it's all interrelated. And I just think that me coming in, I'm going to be focusing on the CPS, but if there's other things that need to be done, that's fine. But I know each of us are a part in this. So if we focus on one thing at a time and I'm in CPS, someone else is in, you know, another area, then we're going to get things done. And I feel like when you're saying we're not taking from other areas, we're actually bringing new people in. I believe that, because I believe, I know a lot. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I see so many people who are affected by this, and these are our kids, and so we need to protect them.
Yes, this is family. This is the essence of America. This is what we're all about, is our children, our posterity, freedom and liberty to continue for them. This is what it's about, and to take on this particular cause, there's no greater honor that I think we can do than to take this cause on. Nothing will change my position on that and my focus. And I knew when I took this cause on, because I said to the people when I first announced this on the radio program, I announced it here, we put it out the word, if the people want this, they have to step up and come. And believe me, they've stepped up and come. We have at least, we have a lot of new people recently in the past couple of weeks. And I'd say we've got 60 or so people I don't even know the numbers, but we got a lot of people that have jumped into the CPS end of things, and I would say at least 40 or 50 of those people are people that are brand new coming into the system, so we've got all that extra energy coming in, and I'd say a good deal of the other people are people that are in our system and haven't been doing anything and jumping up and taking control and taking the job on. It has taken absolutely no time from me, with the exception of a couple of meetings and a couple of papers I had to write, and it's all on its own. These guys that have come in and doing what they're doing, they're handling it, and they are taking the load. And you know what? They are the most involved people in National Liberty Alliance, and I understand why, because they got skin in the game. They got their children on the line, and they want their babies back. There is no more of a motivation to do the right thing, to get things done, than that. And those people coming in, as they see what we're doing and what we're all about, they're also participating in helping save the America, and I know they'll continue with us. They're not in here just to get their children. Of course, that's their main motivation, but they're in here to give a future to their children, too. So I can see it's a marriage made in heaven, so to speak, and there's no doubt that this was the right thing to do. No doubt.
Yes, I definitely. And I think that as I was doing my research, I just got my counseling degree a couple years ago, and actually CPS showed up at our door a year ago, and luckily I didn't have the kids taken, but we were coerced into things and intimidated, and, you know, there's all kinds of things. We're still trying to pick up the pieces today. But with all the research, with, like the guy said, with Nancy Schaefer and all these other people who have tried to fight this fight, there just needs to be the common law there to help these people out, because there is no due process, and there is so much that goes on. It's not – anyone who's fighting this fight is not condoning abuse or neglect. And I know I hear that a lot, is, you know, you'll have these people that come on and go, oh, these are just abusers. This is not what it's about. It's about being abused by the system who takes advantage. So I just am so grateful that I think God opened this door, and I think it's integral. It's a huge piece of this. And so I just want to keep anyone who's come on and is worried about that, I just want to say thank you for having it. And I'm, you know, doing the civics course right now, trying to figure out what the next move is, because I'm going to do whatever God calls me to do. You know, when your kids are constantly being threatened and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, with vaccines, everything else. I mean, if you make a stand and say, no, I don't want my kids vaccinated, you are, you know, at risk of having them taken away. There's so many things at this point. If someone makes an allegation, they don't have to have any type of evidence there. They're just taken. And it's a big thing about awareness.
I'd like to add to what you just said. A lot of people don't know this yet, but we are working on the vaccine problem. We're working on a lot of other problems, and it's all part of what we're doing. Look at the problems is what brought us here. And the main focus is to get access into the courts, but it's exposing the problems that the court is supporting, that the court is allowing and given permission to allow this to go forward. This is the problem. You can't take the pharmaceutical corporations into a courtroom and win. It's not going to happen. But with the people, if the people come together as they are here and they go into the courtroom and they take control of their rightful control of that courtroom, it's going to happen. It's going to fix the problem. And these people are not going to be able to do anything about it, because they're not our kings. They're our servants. They act as our kings. When the people understand that they're the servants, that they don't belong there making rules the way they do and decisions and destroying people, and it's the people that have to judge the people, not judges. Common law requires a jury, period. End of subject, there's nothing else to talk about. And when you take a family court and you take people's children away, or you incarcerate one of the parents or any of those things, and you do it without due process, that's a common law court, and that just violated everything that is holy in America, because our court is built on justice, which requires due process. And and so it all works together. It all gives more and more power and authority to people as we move through the system. You know, this particular case is a no-brainer. as a no-brainer for National Liberty Alliance. It's a no-brainer for the United Common Law Grand Juries that we built because of the jurisdiction problem and the violation of the Fifth Amendment of due process. It's a no-brainer. They can't lift one finger of argument against what we're going to bring into those courts. Not one finger.
Exactly, and I think just having this time to even talk about it, I don't even think that that takes away from anything else, because anyone who wants to come in and talk about any issue can do that, and like you said, just get involved in the committee, try to get things going and, you know, open doors. But I think a lot of people that you're bringing in because of the CPS, you are bringing in a huge amount of people that way, and it's going to really help the movement, because these people have a fire lit. And we're ready to go, and we will do whatever it takes. And we don't even have to focus just on CPS, because we know, all in all, we're all helping each other.
Right.
And so we're ready to go.
Let me connect the dot for you. Just real quick before I forget what I want to say is I'm going to connect the dot. If we had common law constitutional sheriffs in our county, when CPS showed up at your door with some kind of quasi-law enforcement, you could call that sheriff up, and he would say, you better leave. You have no signed warrant. You have hearsay evidence. If you don't leave, I'm going to arrest you, and I'm going to arrest the two cops with you. And if I got to call my guys out, that's what I'll do. Do you realize how powerful that is? So
huge.
We're talking about Jade Helm. We're talking about all this other stuff. If the constitutional sheriffs and the people stand shoulder to shoulder in their counties, and they start thinking free, acting free, and becoming free by declaring this constitution that's still in effect before they declare not in effect, we will have an effect. And there's a definite line between CPS at your front door and Jade Helm marching around your cities, because it gets stopped the same way. And that's us proclaiming it to be unconstitutional, illegal, and a crime. And by the way, that is one crime that's a sin that cries to heaven for vengeance is our children.
Exactly. God is hearing the cries.
And we're no better. We're probably worse than when they were sacrificing children, you know, to the sun gods, you know, in a certain sense, that was almost more humane, because they didn't sell them into sex slavery for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
At least it was over quickly for them kids. Anyway, I don't want to get off on a big tangent, but I just wanted to draw that line. I'll yield.
Let me just make one other point. I don't know what the percentage would be, and I don't think it's ridiculous to say that probably 80% of the people that are involved with NLA, maybe even more than that, and I'm talking about the people that are really involved, they're all here because they've been in the courts, and they have their court problems and situations, and they're trying to deal with it, and that's why they're here. And so we just have another group coming in that has the same thing, but this particular subject matter is so powerful, so potent, the opportunity of the power and the authority that this movement towards this goal could do to the people in the courts is just amazing. If people really step back to understand the power and the authority. Look at these courts are going to have to back off because they have no other choice. And the paperwork that we're going to file it's going to blow your mind, and it's certainly going to blow their mind. And they're not going to be able to do anything. They're going to be literally paralyzed.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I want to cut it short so other people can get in, but just giving that voice, the one lady was on, and it's like, you know, people do not have a voice. And when you're going through this, you turn to everyone. I called every attorney, tried to figure things out. And even when we went into it, one of the attorneys that we've, you know, paid money for, she's like, I'm like, what about our Constitution? And she's like, the Constitution is out. This is state law. You don't even bring up Constitution. And it's
unbelievable.
So they know right up, and, you know, she ended up being, we found out later, she was actually a court-appointed attorney as well. She was on the line for all of that. So you have all the conflict of interest that you start finding out that's happening, because they all sleep in the same bed pretty much. So just having this opportunity to be able to get involved. One of the things I have seen, which I am willing to do, and I sent you an email and someone else, is that if there's a place for, like, on the website when there are errors on the website that need to be addressed, not trying to be critical or anything. It just happens, misspells, stuff like that. Is there someone who does that or that
I can contact?
We're looking
for someone to get involved with that. We have a group that kind of is working on similar things, and so we wouldn't need to create another group for that.
Okay.
But yes, we would like to have people to join that group. I'll tell you the name of that group in a minute, and say specifically, I want to be involved in doing this. And then if they went through the website, page by page, and found the errors and are very specific, so that I can find time to sit down with that person, and they can say, okay, let's go to this page here, click on this button, okay, at this line, and I can fix it right there and then.
Okay.
And we can fix a couple of pages at a time, and then go, and then that, another time we get together and we continue to do it until we get it done. Definitely we would like that kind of correction. We've done a lot of writing out there, so we've got a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We know we've got
definitely
errors, no doubt about it. But that would be the, let me see which group that would be. Investigate the LA Community Committee. Is it the Common Law? It might be the Common Law Advisory Committee. That might be the group. That would be in that. If not, they'll tell you which group is, but I'm sure that is the one. Now,
okay.
And focus in on that. Now, we did have somebody last week, and I meant to mention this earlier, that mentions that they must have some kind of software, unless I misunderstood what they were saying, that they actually put to print some of the things we're doing and saying. And so I presume maybe they have a software they run as they play the audio and it puts it to print. So if someone out there that's
transcribing
doing that, we would love to have those people come together in the same committee and to work with us. We have what I'd like to open up on a committee is a committee that a Q&A committee. Okay, that's what I'd like to set up. And we started a Q&A, and we have a Q&A page, but we've never been able to really get it going. But I set up a page called FAQ Committee. We have nobody that is part of that committee yet. We need some people to take a hold of that committee. And basically what we'd like for them to do is to go through our meetings, because we have so much information we give at the meetings, and kind of pull out questions and answers. They could do it if they want to cut audio pieces out, or if they want to actually do type, write it out. And they say, okay, here's the question and here's the answer. And then we can categorize it on a page, because this would help so many people who come in and ask so many questions that we've answered so many times, and we can send them to a page, an FAQ page, and they can get that. So we're looking for those people.
Yeah, I'd be willing to do that. So I'll try to contact some people and get involved in that. Gina and Sheila I've talked to. They introduced me last night on their Sunday night call, just having the background in counseling and whatnot. But I will go through and look at the common law director and try to get a hold of them and then go from there.
Go to the Common Law Advisory Committee, which I think they do proofreading also. And also, we're looking for, and we can move this over to the FAQ committee if you want to spearhead as a director of the FAQ committee and take it on and build up some partners to work with you on that committee. You can handle both of those issues right there. From the FAQ committee, that would be fine. And you'd be collaborating from time to time with the Common Law Advisory Committee. We try to get the cross-pollination, so to speak, and hopefully committees will kind of spring off from that. And, the committees is what's going to keep us going, get us information, get us involved, keep us on track, educate us. We need to do these things.
Yes, sounds good. I will do that. I already have about six written down on the page, and they're just misspells and stuff. And I thought, well, who do I contact with this? And I did that on one of your emails that you sent. It said administrator instead of administrator. And it's just those things that you catch and you go, okay, let's try to catch those things, because you have so much going on. You did. Yep, you did. And I was like, okay, hopefully I'm not one of those that you think I'm criticizing. I'm just trying to help, because when people come to the site, you want to have it as professional as possible, and it's so easy to just look over those. I remember in all my papers I did, it's nice to have those second people or third people to catch them. So I will contact them and get involved, and anyone else who's interested, let me know.
If you want to take over the FAQ page, committee, then just let Robert Noe, and
okay.
You'll get me your name and phone number. I'll put you up as the director. Write down a couple of paragraphs on what the committee is all about, and you can always
okay.
add to that later, but write it down what it's about, to answer questions, to go, whatever it is, just write it up, and then we'll post it up there, and then we're having a board meeting tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here in this room, and so be at that board meeting. And we'll create some kind of a time where you and I would get together from time to time to go through and make these corrections.
And that is not a call-in one. That's an actual you code to that room, and it's only for the directors.
Well, to
at that
call
time.
Me, you can call me direct at 845-2. You got a pen?
I don't. I'm actually outside
okay.
right now.
Well, can I
email you, or you get?
Yeah.
Do you get
you
too many emails?
Or just ask.
Okay.
When you talk to Sheila, they'll give you my number.
I thought you said 845, 6560. Was that what it was?
Yes, 656 823-6560. Yes.
Okay, I will get a hold of you and go from there. Then thank you
right.
so much, you guys.
Meeting,
God bless.
The meeting for tomorrow at 9 is in this room right here.
Okay, sounds
thanks,
good.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Back to you, Gerard.
Yeah, I don't know what my board's doing. I had to reboot. So
sorry,
honey.
When I try to walk, the phone gets all staticky. So I
don't
have to
know.
Wait.
I'm going to hit next question. I don't know who's coming up. It says Regina Poignet.
Yeah, just hit the next button, and you'll get the next person. There you are. Vivian, I guess, from California. Is that it?
See, mine doesn't say that.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's coming in on the bottom. Now. Okay, gotcha.
Right. It's all yours, Gerard.
Yeah. Go ahead, Vivian.
I'm just going to say my opinion about this situation we're in right now, and I agree with Michael that this is an urgency, and it should be on top of all our priorities, because...
You're talking about Jade Hill?
If we don't...
Are you
yes.
talking about
yes.
Jade Helm?
If we don't address
let me tell you,
as a
anybody
priority.
Who doesn't understand that Jade Helm is the top dog in what we're doing right now, we're telling you right now, there's nothing more important in what we're doing. We have serious people involved in this, in researching this. We have someone that's got real serious inside information, high-level stuff.
And we have a deadline. We have a deadline.
And, yeah, and we know we have a deadline. We have July. Look, we absolutely know. Do not think for one moment we're not on top of it. We've got tremendous amounts of information compiled. Notes are being taken. Paragraphs for the papers are being written. Believe me, it's going to be done. But bear in mind, you don't just write a paper and send it out. It's got to have a place in the course of communication and what we're doing. It's got to fit where we're going. And we got to get it out soon. We agree. So don't think that any other project that we're doing is affecting the most important part. And again, the most important part is getting into the courts. But Jade Helm is huge. This is huge. And that all of this, that plays a part in getting into the courts. The Jade Helm, how we respond to Jade Helm, how we respond to the CPS, how we respond to the habeas corpuses, how we respond to all of the papers we write and put in. We have huge numbers of writs of mandamus is going in. Believe me, people are going to be really impressed when they start to see the paperwork start to churn out. It's coming. It's coming. Again, we have a technical glitch, and if that technical glitch didn't exist, we would have been pumping it out this past week already. But we're waiting to fix the technical glitch. It's beyond my control.
Okay, that's...
Believe me, we're right on top of it. So people need to understand
okay,
that. Let's not shoot ourselves in the foot. And let me tell you, we are pulling in huge numbers of people coming in from this concern with people in family court. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be really big, I believe. When this floodgate hasn't even opened yet, and we've picked up a large membership already. So it's all of this works together. And you know what? I truly believe with the opportunity of what we see and the minimum amount of work to do it and the slam dunk case of it all, to not go forward, I believe I would be cursed by God. Woe is me. I can't live with myself since I see the opportunity to not do it, you know? And there are other people that feel the same way that are working on this project. So, and there's lots of people involved in this. So,
Yeah, my only point is...
I just want to put you to rest, Vivian.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been
but,
a member of us for a long
I
time.
I just
want to
say that without us addressing Jade Helm, I mean, as a top emergency, no other project is going to happen.
I agree.
This is happening right now, and right in our neighborhood, and it did not happen. It is not going to start on July 15th. I think it has already started because I have been all these helicopters circling everywhere around
here. They are mobilizing. I'm sure you're probably right. They're mobilizing right now.
Last summer. It started last summer.
It started in 2007 when Ron Paul sounded the alarm and nobody was talking about it. And at that point, he says, we have 15,000. At that day, at that point, we have 15,000 foreign troops on American soil and more coming in. We're trying to get a hold on a number and nobody's talking about it. What's going on, people? Okay? That was Ron Paul in 2007. Okay?
Yeah, I trust him very much.
Since then, we have heard numbers above 600,000, okay? This is a serious, but believe me, we have spoken about this also. We have been concerned. And now when we saw Jade Helm emerge, which was happened so quickly, and when we saw Jade Helm emerge, we understood what this is all about. We've been watching it since 2007. We know. Mm-hmm. Believe me, we know.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you so much. And I believe the Oath Keepers know too. Everybody seems to be on the alert. The militia, everybody knows. We know.
Okay.
Hello.
We got New York Sheila on the line.
Hi.
Hey,
everyone.
How you doing? How's it going?
I'm good. I just want to speak on Jade Helm for a second. Mm-hmm. Jade Helm. They have an emblem, and in the middle of it, it's a clog. It's a shoe. It's called Sabbath shoe.
Oh, no kidding.
And Sabbath is short for sabotage. And sabotage is really a infiltration, a tear down of a corporation. And if you look around you, what is happening to Walmart? It's being sabotaged. Everything is being sabotaged. So also, it is a deterrent. They have to come up with something huge to deter, really, from NLA. The CPS lawsuit is really, I think they have everything in sequence, but it's kind of hurrying the process because they know that this CPS, along with all the other stuff we're doing, is becoming very powerful. So even in New York today, they have, which they're doing, is they're recruiting firemen. Yes, Saturday, the firemen were having a drill. There were so many firemen in this particular area, and they were all lined up to block everyone in their driveway from the street. I mean, and it was a huge, long, I think it was every fire truck that was around in a radius area of maybe 100 miles. I've never seen so many, but they were doing a drill as far as lining up in a convoy, and that was the way they were blocking people in. They were blocking people's driveways. So also they put out a thing where they're recruiting volunteer. They put out an ad where they're recruiting volunteer firemen. So, yeah, there is something definitely going on, but this is the only way they can bring things to pass is if Americans know about it and accept it and get ready for it. And so right now with what we're doing and what John is doing toward Jade Helm, I really believe that National Liberty Alliance needs to be built up to where whatever we do, we have the support and the people behind us, and this CPS is doing that, is bringing in a boatload of new energetic people. So I don't want to take up too much time. I just want to say that, you know, we do welcome everyone into all of the committees, because really, even though there are many committees, it's only one in LA. And this is what's been emphasized about working together. We really have to come together as one, or else, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. So I just want to say that. God bless everybody. I mean, we really are in a bad time right now. But, you know, if people weren't working on CPS, they all couldn't be working on Jade Helm. So we need people to work in these areas regardless of what's going on. You know, you just can't be in one place. John and those guys are taking care of that area. So we have other people that are taking care of other areas because we don't have much time. We really don't. So that's it, John. I yield. And God bless everybody.
Thank you, Sheila. We appreciate that. And look, I hope they do recruit firemen, because I know firemen. I'm one. I'm a volunteer fireman. And let me tell you something. The fire departments, at least up here, the volunteer fire departments, they're really your militia. They're really a no-brainer. They're local guys. They live around here. They all hunt. They tell them to not lock their neighbors in their driveways. They're not going to do it. They're here putting their lives on the line, really protecting and serving, really, because they're pulling people out of smoking buildings, and they really understand what that sacrifice is, and they've been protecting and serving for a long time. It'll be really hard to subvert that group of people. So if they want to recruit them, I'd say more power to them. But anyway, I hit next question. I don't know who I unmuted. My screen's really weird here. Let's see. Did I unmute somebody?
Hello, Gerard. This is Carl from Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I don't see you, but I'll go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a co-coordinator for the state of Wisconsin. I'm also involved in...
Carl, hang on a second. Gerard, while he's talking, why don't you reboot your login in the conference call? Maybe that'll fix your screen.
Yeah, because
you'll still hear him and be able to talk while you're.
Well,
recording.
I did that once already, and it. I don't know. I'll do it again. But go ahead. Right. Go ahead,
okay.
Carl. I'll reboot again. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I traveled from Wisconsin out to Bunkerville to meet up with my militia brothers in arms, and also with Carol and Clive and Bundy. I served out there on their PSC, their personal security detail, and also ran patrols out there. And also I met up with Sheriff Mack and also some people from Solidarity for 9th and 10th Amendments Coalition, and talked to Sheriff Mack a bit about NLA. We are in a situation, for whatever reason, and I mentioned this to you before, John, it's really important. I think that, in my opinion, it's really important that we really connect well with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And also,
well, absolutely, and
well,
we have people working on that, and we did write a letter to Sheriff Mack, and he should have that letter, and we're trying to get a open dialogue. The ball of this is in his court. We recognize and we work to empower the sheriff, but it's a two-way street. He needs to understand he doesn't have no power without the people, and his boss is
right.
The people. And we are the jury, the grand jury, that he is to bring people to if he has an indictment.
Right.
You know, so he
right.
needs to understand a two-way
okay.
street. I think he does. I hope he does. And we sent a letter.
He does, well, John, but he's still, you know, I talked to him face-to-face for quite a while on several different matters, one of the large ones being NLA. And I don't, you and I have talked about this before a little bit. He is, for whatever reason, I think that you're probably right that he's associating you with somebody else. I'm guessing.
Oh, we know who he is. Look, it absolutely is. The guy he's associating me with,
yeah,
is in jail, and he was doing what we were doing, but on a way different way. It was illegal.
Okay.
He no authority, no power. He lied.
And he was claiming the sheriffs were behind him when
he
were,
said
they
Sheriff
absolutely
Mack
weren't.
Was with him, and he had 600 sheriffs with him, and he was going out to a meeting out west somewhere, and then all of
okay.
a sudden, this whole
that probably
thing
is
out
the
on
same
me.
Guy. That probably is the same guy, because Sheriff Mack was speaking, and again, this was face-to-face, and I spent, you know, a good amount of time with him out there. And he was saying something about how, and I'm just relating the same information that you just gave me. I see that you recognize it, but I just want to bring it even more to, you know, to your attention, that this mistaken identity that he's got in his mind, okay, whoever this individual was, he is absolutely convinced that he lied to Sheriff Mack's face, that this guy who he thinks is you, stated that the constitutional sheriffs were behind him and they were working together on this and all that. And Sheriff Mack said he never authorized that, didn't have anything
right.
to do
the
with that.
That's right. The guy's name is Tom, not John. You see, you
okay.
see, and Sheriff, he's and convinced. We tried to tell Sheriff Mack this, but he's not listening, and I don't know why he's not listening.
No, I understand.
You know,
okay,
hopefully, one day.
I'm
but you know what?
At...
I just want to say one thing. You know, I truly believe that I'm doing what I have to do. Wherever I am in life, and it's not just here. I've been to many places in life, and wherever I am, I believe that's because God put me there, and all I have to do is one thing: the right thing. Every moment there's a decision to make. You make the right decision. And everything in NLA, since we started this initiative, and we have people with us for quite some time. We have people with us before we became NLA that came right into, because we were the New York committeemen, and then we were the New York Liberty Alliance, and then we became the National Liberty Alliance. So we have a lot of people
right.
that have been with us, still with us, and they know who we are. They know what we said. They know what we claim and what we haven't claimed. They know the truth. Concerning this,
yeah.
and that he's just there. As a matter of fact, I was going to write this in a letter, and someone said, "Well, don't get into all that." So I didn't, because I had met Sheriff Mack a couple
yeah.
of times on the trail, so to speak. We paid for his
right.
way to come to Albany, New York, to speak. We had lunch together on one occasion. So
yeah.
you know, he doesn't remember who I am, and he thinks I'm someone, I don't know, whatever. But you know what?
Yeah.
Maybe God just doesn't want us together yet. That's his business. I don't know. We've
well,
put out the olive
I mean,
branch. We support
yeah.
Sheriff Mack. We never say anything bad about him. We pick him up. We support the we want the sheriffs. We need the sheriffs. We need to educate
yeah.
the sheriffs. The sheriffs are ignorant, just
okay.
like we were. They are, and now they're becoming,
yeah.
You know, knowledgeable.
Okay. No.
And we want to work
okay.
together.
He may be ignorant in terms of the common law grand jury, you know, to some degree. But he is also working on another element that has to be done if we're going to restore the rule of constitutional law, and that is restoring the 9th and 10th Amendments that support, defend, and protect and will restore our entire Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, and our entire Constitution. And so that needs to be done, and that's the angle that he's working on. That's the angle that my other group is working on, Solidarity for 9th and 10th Amendments Coalition. We are working in direct correspondence with Crespo, but we, in my opinion, and I've done a lot of research through the years, I've been researching this for well over 10 years, we do need, and Sheriff Mack needs, in my opinion as well, and Crespo needs, the common law grand jury, and the common law grand jury needs him and my other organization. We need to pull all this together. The common law grand jury and the 9th and 10th Amendments all fit together like a glove. We need all this stuff. We need all bells tolling at the same exact minute. Okay.
Here, here.
And so what I'd like to do is get a three-way conversation going between you, myself, and Sheriff Mack, okay? and try to get all this resolved and so we can pull together. If we get his sheriffs and peace officers, he's got about 600 roughly, if we pull them all together, working with the common law grand jury, we're going to be able to make this thing skyrocket. And you know something, in the Patriot groups, it's not even just NLA and Crespo that are having difficulties. We had difficulties out at the Bunkerville operation with the Oath Keepers, okay, and the Oath Keepers had problems with our militia organizations, and they were at odds too for different reasons. When the Oath Keepers pulled out, there was concern inside intel that they were going to drone us out there, or send out regular military troops out there, a contingent of full out military troops, and so the Oath Keepers pulled out, and my militia brothers are really ticked off at that. So I've been trying to pull all of us together again, and because I'm connected with all these organizations, and trying to make amends. So what I'd like to do, if we can, John, is have a three-way conversation with Sheriff Mack. Could we do that? Maybe even tomorrow? Because it's important that we get this together.
Well, it doesn't matter. We've already sent them a letter. I gave him my phone number. Sure, anytime he wants to call, we can talk.
Okay. What I'll do then is try to get Sheriff Mack on the line, and then I'll call you at your number that you gave out just a few minutes ago.
Me a heads-up call before you get him on the line so you don't waste his time. Make sure I'm available at the moment. But what time do you think this might be?
I think we'd be looking at, once you're on the East Coast, and he's, I believe he's Mountain Time. Let's say about, what if we shoot for 2:00 tomorrow, Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Daylight Time?
Yeah, what time was that?
2:00 Eastern Daylight Time.
Yeah, that's good for me. I'm looking at my calendar. I'm good for that, 2:00. That's the 21st tomorrow. Gerard,
yeah,
you should be available at 2, right?
Yeah, I should be, yeah.
Okay. Well, then I will call you first. Well, I'm going to try to get a hold of Sheriff Mack first.
I'll put you on my calendar for 2 p.m. for tomorrow right now.
Yep, and then I will call you at 1400 hours.
Okay.
Okay.
Navy man, huh?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, 1400 hours, Navy man,
okay.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, John.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Actually, that's military man. Okay, I'm going to try to get John.
I guess all the military works, if that's right.
Yeah, it's not just the Navy.
Yeah, you're right.
He was probably a Marine.
Yeah.
Or an Army man.
I confused him.
Yeah, it's okay.
First, I had to confuse myself, though.
Okay, I'm hitting next question. It looks like unmuted JT.
Hello?
Yes.
John.
Yeah, that's me. You're kind of overmodulated.
Back off your mic. You're overmodulated.
Okay, how about that?
Nope. Get more and get off the speaker because we're hearing ourselves too.
Yeah, you got like your speakers on.
Speaker.
You got to lower your speakers.
How's that sound?
That's much better.
Okie doke.
I mean, I still hear myself, but anyway. Okay,
I got it disconnected here.
No,
he's there. JT, you there? Go ahead, talk.
I'm wondering what I should be doing, whether I should be collecting signatures or writing papers or gathering my friends to join these juries. I'm just a little confused. There's so much going on right now.
Right. Well, look at the committees that are out there. Consider your skills and join the committees that you one of the committees that you think you have skills to work with. And if you think there's a committee that we should start, propose one and we'll start it. Look at the more and more committees we have, the more and more activity, the more and more work, the more and more we're learning, the more and more we're pulling together and we're working towards the goal. Every committee is focused in on our goal.
Well, now here's where my confusion is, because I just got called to jury duty here in my neighborhood in Washington. I've gone to jury duty before, I've reported, and it's usually all my friends from my Foggy Bottom neighborhood here in D.C. It's a good group I can influence.
Right. Yeah, if you look at it, if you can go to the jury, if, by all means do it. You can hopefully influence the jury on the law. And
just don't get yourself thrown in jail doing it, that's all.
Yeah,
because they don't take kindly to jury nullification, especially if you're preaching it. So just be careful.
Well, that's okay. I know all my neighbors. I know everybody in that jury box. We'll just go in there and do it our way.
And there you go. Well, that's good. Maybe I can get you
that's
jury box when they come after me.
That's coming all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, so Gerard. So you said there's going to be guerrilla fighting in the street.
Well, I said if there's going to be a war, it's not going to be a civil war. It's going to look. It always goes down to guerrilla fighting. You know what I mean? It's going to be ugly. We don't want that because that's what it's going to look. Americans aren't stupid. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, we're fat and lazy and soft, but guess what? We are fat, lazy, and soft. However, when it gets down to that, we're fighting for our homes. And, you know, many of us remember what it's supposed to be like. And hopefully those of us that do remember will bequeath that to our younger generations. You know, one thing that they didn't count on is, you know, they told us we're free, we're the best country, we're this, we're that, and we believed them. And believe it or not, if you have that belief, that's something that you can build a movement on.
This Liberty Alliance thing is really coming together. I must say, if you're going to put 13,000 administrators together at 70 G's, that's $1 billion payroll. I'm so impressed with how much money you guys have raised.
Raise money. You know, look at that. That's money that's going to come out of the system that's there now that they're using already. We didn't raise any money. We don't have any.
The controller. The controller.
The controller's
going to pay. Money is going to pay. So basically, the taxpayers are going to pay.
The taxpayers are paying it now. The taxpayers are paying triple that amount. Because they're
I just don't understand how we're going to do this and get the payroll people to start paying the administrators this much money.
Well, first of all, if we get in the courts,
we're not in the courts. We're never going to be in the courts, and it's just a big old grift. And John Viderack is just trying to steal money from
people.
Well,
you were on the call a little earlier, wasn't you? And if you weren't on the call a little earlier, you would have seen. Huh? Well, we spoke about this. But anyway, he's from Fogbo, Gerard.
Yeah,
Gary.
Obviously, right.
Take on
right.
Gary from Michigan there.
Gary from Michigan.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing. First of all, thank you for everything you're doing, and I'm kind of new. But I just want to say, you know, on this law thing, the preachers in America have, from the pulpit, spewed out this terrible lie that the law of our father was done away with. And we're fighting an uphill battle with that. It took me some years to come to my senses and realize that this wasn't true. And the closer to the earth you are, as we are farmers where we're at here, the more you understand the law of the father, our creator. So I think this is an uphill battle for Americans. And you go to church on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever they have services, and the person that's in authority spews this out that the law of the Father has been done away with. And he himself said, "Think not that I came to do away the law of the prophets. I came to fulfill the law." And they just don't seem to understand or be able to read well. And I thank
well,
you for what
they have a veil in front of their eyes, because most of those guys you're talking about have 501(c)s, and they cannot go up there and preach what they need to preach to bring this nation back because they'll lose their 501(c), and therein they'll lose the support. Their jobs will be gone, their parishes will be gone, and their parishioners will be gone. And so they've sold their soul for that stupid tax exemption.
7 minutes over.
Very correct. One other thing, I did get a hold of the chaplain at the Salt Lake City County Jail, and I did talk to him for probably a good length of time. I expressed the values of the Constitution and all the Bill of Rights things to him I could, and explained that my concern was that of the spiritual need of Stephen Deed, and that if he would look into some of the injustice from his standpoint, it'd be well appreciated from NLA. So he was a very cooperative gentleman, and he had worked many years in the as a volunteer chaplain for that county. So I thought that was reasonable. The sheriff has not called me back, and neither has the judge. So I'm working with Eric with that whole thing.
Well, we now have everything we need for Steve, I think, and we should be working on that paperwork, and they're going to hear from us very soon, and we'll see how things go. But with that, we've come to the end of our program. We're about 8 minutes over.
You.
I wasn't even paying attention to time. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
We're going to end our program. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And again, join a committee, get involved, take the civics course, sign up to become an administrator. Let's save this nation. Let's get involved. Let's do what we have to do. Only the people can save America. And if a people expect to be ignorant and free, as Thomas Jefferson said, forget about it. It's not going to happen. All right. Lord willing, we'll see you next time. Good night. Thanks for participating, and we'll close down with Child of Vision by Supertramp.